Blog Talk Radio.
Tactical nuke incoming!
Gentlemen, welcome to another episode of The Betting Window on the Nerd Report Network. I am your host, Stefan Rani, and with me, as always, he has himself muted right now.
Oh, shut up. I'm right here.
Yeah,
Captain Stuntcow.
Apparently everyone's late because Danzo ain't here.
Uh-oh.
I'm hoping.
Here, I'm just not.
Here?
Proper. No, I'm just not properly hooked up because I just found what I needed.
Oh, okay. Great, grand, wonderful. No yelling on the bus.
No yelling on the bus. Give me 10 seconds.
All right. Well, if you're new to the show, where the hell have you been lately? We've been doing this for years. No, I'm not new to the game. But if you're new to the show, welcome. A little bit about ourselves real quick. We are a sports betting and sports news podcast where we dive into the good, the bad, and the what the fuck was that in the wide world of sports and sports betting. Today's episode, we got some baseball news, not a lot, but it's college football recap as well as the NFL picks. We begin. It has begun. Christian will be joining us soon, and hopefully John will be joining us. I might have to give him a call on the air and see what the hell is going on.
Wow, Skype can fucking suck it.
Why? What happened?
I got booted.
Oh, I didn't even see you get booted.
Yeah, I fucking got booted.
All right, we're doing this live.
Fuck it, we're going live.
You're on the air. Oh, never mind. John, ignore that phone call.
Sorry.
It's all good. Introduce yourself.
Oh, the zombie master, very tired zombie master, is here.
Oh, I think we're all tired because of this fucking heat.
Well, let me put it to you this way. I'll keep this short and sweet. Yesterday, my car broke down, Sunday my car broke down with a bad tire, took it to the repair shop. Turns out I need $3,700 worth of work to my car.
In a row?
That's going to be some straight bullshit.
Come on, Roy, you missed the joke there, too.
No, I got the joke. No, but no, listen, I'll explain in a second, but here's the thing. Since I don't have anybody to drive, I had to walk home 2.5 miles home in that humidity, and I had to run some errands today in my mother's car with no AC.
Ugh.
So, right, my body right now is completely exhausted.
In the heat of Satan's butthole. And no, I'm not calling him.
He can explain the heat.
No, yeah. So can Saddam about sex positions, but we don't need to talk about it.
Oh, my
and
God.
And Ryan, what were you saying about straight bullshit?
Well, you know they have like a 300% markup on parts.
Well, let me put it to you this way. I need 4 new tires.
Okay.
The struts on the car are gone.
You can do those yourself. Easy as fuck. It's 2 bolts.
Hey, you want to come up here in the heat and do it? Fine. Come up and do it.
John, I love you, buddy, but you can't afford me because I charge $70 an hour, and it's going to take me at least 72.
Nah, plus that there was some other stuff that they had.
Bullshit, I can get you work up here.
but regardless, it's stuff. I for 2 days I've had to be out in this fucking disaster.
Oh, it's a nightmare.
And it just completely drained me.
It just broke for us. If it's any consolation, yesterday we got a couple of hellacious storms, like just downpours real quick. And it's been in like the 70s today.
Well, that's what tomorrow it's supposed to be that way too. And it's supposed to break tomorrow because we're supposed to get some thunderstorms tomorrow.
It's all the hurricanes coming up the coast. We're in hurricane season.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I mean, I'm getting ready to come into winter, luckily. But like you guys know, end of February through probably June's tornado season for me.
Yeah. All right. So we ready to dive into baseball news? Because, boy, there's actually a lot.
Yeah, I actually found some stuff, too, about I found out I got the complete 2023 free agent class. So if you want to go over some of the names.
I don't think from what I have right now that literally broke today, I don't think we're going to have enough time to talk about the free agent class.
Well,
you know, I got a custom sound drop, and I don't know if it's going to play, so I'm going to try it, and you guys can tell me.
Nope. I mean, I heard John drink a thing of water.
Yeah, I've been trying to hydrate myself like crazy.
Oh, but that didn't come through?
Nope.
No.
Son of a bitch.
But my drinking did come through. That's good.
Yeah, I heard the freaking bubble from the... I heard the bubble pop.
Try it again.
Yo, that soundboard's more useless than a cocky-flavored lollipop.
It really is. And it's funny that that's the phrase you went, because it literally said, the bold strategy, Cotton, let's see if it pays off.
Yeah, you went, yes! You went with, yeah. Your soundboard is definitely giving you some... Or are you...
emotional damage.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, well...
Oh, well, shit happens. Right, right.
Right, right. Yep, yep. Yep, yep.
Onita! Onita! Onita!
All right, let's do this.
All right. Let's start with the oldest news.
The Mets still suck.
They're up 2-0 right now, so and apparently the Yankees are on a roll, so they're only 8 out. The Angels are possibly looking to trade Mike Trout.
Boy, they really just that owner really screwed the pooch, didn't they?
So what would you okay. I believe Trout has 7 more years. I'm going to say this, and it's not because we're anti this team or anti that team. We all know that most of us kind of have more than others, but we mostly all have a dislike for Philly.
Oh, yeah.
Mike Trout has made it very clear that if he was going to go anywhere, he'd go to the Phillies because he's a Philly fan.
But does he have a full new trade?
Well, he said there's only – really, that's like one of the only teams he's willing to trade for. He has a no-trade clause in it.
Oh, he does. Okay.
For someone that has, I believe, 8 years left, I'm pulling it up now, so don't quote me.
Mm-hmm.
What do you give for that?
Well, here's
an injury-prone, and first off, also too, injury-prone.
Well, that's why...
7 years, and then his at age 39, he's an unrestricted free agent.
But here's my thing. I was just about to say, you're not getting, I mean, sure, you're getting a name in Mike Trout, but you're not getting just Mike Trout. You're getting an injury-plagued megastar. Now, any team that's worth its weight, filthy Mets, Yankees, Cardinals, whatever the situation might be, they're gonna want a lot in return for him. But then if you're that team, you're like, okay, but I'm going to give you my top prospects for a guy who hasn't played a full season in how many years? I'm asking a question. How many years? Since you have a shit up.
He played a full year last year. 2022, he played a full year.
Yeah, but how many years? All right. 1 year he played. How many years has he been injured?
So I have his from 2019. He has been on the injured list 2 years. For most of the year, he's played most of his years from 2019. Yeah, here we go. I got the years.
Okay.
Games played. This is from this year, and I'm going all the way down to 2011.
Okay.
All right?
That's when he debuted, 2011, right?
Yes, I believe okay. So. 2011, 2010. And I'm not gonna. I'm just gonna say it in order. So just don't stop me. When we get done, I'll talk about it. 82, 119, 36, 53. That's a shortened season, though. 136, 140, 114, 159, 159, 157. 157, 139, and 40. 40 was his rookie year, though.
Well, yeah, I pretty much figured.
Like only two injured seasons, right?
Yeah, fully, yes. So, yeah, because he played 53 of the 62 games that were the COVID year.
Okay, COVID year.
Yeah, but here's my question. Yeah. All right. I'm hearing myself again.
All right.
Not me.
Okay, but I heard my. Okay, no, I'm not hearing it now. Okay, but I was gonna say I lost my train of thought. Isn't it his back that's been giving him that gave him majority of his troubles, or has it been?
I'll pull it out. Actually, I got injury reports here too. So,
okay.
Wrist, ribs, calf, wrist, thumb, wrist. It's been his wrist mostly.
Now, if you're a hitter, but having your wrist that have any trouble spots with the wrist, doesn't that kind of like worry you a little bit?
Well, here's the thing. So, games missed from just a wrist. He had 23, so right now he's missed 13 games.
Okay.
Beginning of the year, or 2018, he missed 15. And then another one from 2023, from July to August, he missed 50 games. So the wrist has only been really acting up this year. The calf is the big one. The calf, he missed 139 games.
In total, or just?
That was one stint. That was when he missed the rest of the – he was out in May, and he was out the rest of the year.
Well, what was wrong with his calf? Did he tear something?
Yeah, he tore his MCL.
No bueno.
I think that was it. It was an ACL or an MCL tear.
Okay. Well – All right. With that being said, but really, the question is, what do you give a team like the Angels? What do you even ask for?
Right. Well, that's honestly what we're looking at. I mean,
right.
Philly right now, I mean, if you're Philly, would you give up like a JT Realmuto?
You know what? Here's my thing with the Angels. I don't think if they're willing to get rid of Trout, With all the contracts, they're looking to be economical. They're not going to take a guy on with a lot of contract. Because if they're looking to dump Trout's contract, they're not going to willing to pay a guy like Realmuto's got a lot of years left on his contract. They're going to. I hate to say it, but they're going. I think the way the Angels are going, I think they're going in the way of the Wilpons. They're going to bargain basement it big time.
Well, he's about – there's rumors that he's thinking about selling the team.
Well, it's because you know what it is? Look at the way it is. You said it last week. in trades, when all those trades that that the Angels made at the deadline, all those guys they put on waivers, and every single the Guardians claimed half of them. They claimed Giolito and two or three of the other guys that they had put on waivers. The Guardians took. Why would you make all those fucking trades with all those guys just to cut them and get nothing in return?
That's a great question.
That's you see, ever since you said that, I've been wondering. I was like, I'm trying to figure out. You would trade for a guy like Luis Giolito, who's a free agent at the end of the year, granted. But basically, you gave up a shit ton of players to get these guys. You gave up a lot of minor leaguers. It was like 10 or 12 minor leaguers went in those deals. I could be wrong on the number, but you did give up a lot. I know the Mets got two for Escobar.
Yeah.
Why would you mortgage your entire farm system if you're just going to get rid of the guys? It made no sense.
It comes down to a performance issue. They didn't perform the way the front office wanted them to, so now they're going to try to cut their losses and recoup some of what they spent.
I understand that, but here's the thing. They only had them for less than 2 weeks, so you're telling me what? It's 2 weeks and then... Well, you didn't do anything. Goodbye. Like 2 or 3 weeks you had these guys. It's like...
But that's the thing. Like, we're not scouts. Like, we don't know what they saw in these guys that made them be like,
You're right. We're not scouts, but here's the thing. It's like... You basically mortgaged your entire farm system. You just basically gave away your farm system for nobody.
Doesn't make any sense. But, I mean, they see something that we don't. I guess is the only way we can really look at it.
Christian.
Hello, Christian.
Hello, Christian.
That's what I was waiting on.
Well, great. Yeah, since you're here, it was like you were here last week when Ronnie brought up the news that the Angels basically sold everybody off that they traded for at the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you Ryan has his theory that what was your theory? It's like they just didn't perform, so that's why they got rid of him. You think
they didn't perform the way that they were expecting them to perform?
Go ahead.
I know that, you know, you're, like you said, you know, it's only 2 weeks, but at that level, maybe that's all they need.
I'll tell you right now exactly what it was. They wanted a playoff push to try to get Shohei into the playoffs. When they realized they were completely DOA and they were fucked, they were done, they had no chance to make it, they just decided to sell everything off. Now, was that smart? No, because they traded all their prospects for them. So now what? Like, you kind of look at it and go, okay, now what?
Well, because I know for a fact is the Mets got 4 players for Dominic Leone, two minor leaguers for Dominic Leone and 2 minor leaguers for Eduardo Escobar. The only one they still have around is Escobar. So, and the joke I heard online, it's like Escobar's like the Fresh Prince at the end of the season, looking at the empty house, going, "Where did everybody go?"
Yeah, well, it could be worse. Could be Cookie Carrasco because he's now hurt.
Well, but here's the thing. So the Mets got 4 of the not the top prospects, but before. Highly touted prospects from the Angels just for 2 guys. And then you're thinking about all the other guys that they gave up. So we're looking at least maybe 6, if not more, other minor league system was just shipped off for what?
Well, that's different. That's different because that happened early in the year.
Escobar was earlier in the year, but the Dominic Leone was during the deadline.
Right, but I'm saying is more, that wasn't as big as, say, them going to get someone like
Giolito.
Giolito and shit like that. Like, to get rid of someone like that, now he's on the Reds.
No, he's the Guardian. He's a Guardian.
Guardian, sorry. The Reds picked up Renfro.
Yes. Yeah.
Which, so Christian, the reason I bring this up is because now the Angels are talking about trading Trout. And rumor and in reality, Trout's got no trade clause. There's one team I can only see him going to because he's made it perfectly clear. If he's going to play on the East Coast, he wants to be a Philly.
Now, why would he want to do that?
Because that's his team.
That's the team he grew up loving as a kid.
He's a Southern Jersey boy. So if you're in Southern Jersey, you're practically part of Philly.
Yeah, you're a Philly.
That's why he's such a big Eagles fan.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he's an Eagle Philly fan instead of a Yankee Jet Giant fan. Like, he's a Yankee Met like that. So if you're the Phillies, who do you give up?
Because
he still has 7 years on his contract.
Yeah.
And then Ronnie brought up somebody like, would you give up a Realmuto and stuff? But my argument to that is, like, if you're trying to dump, if you're getting rid of all your high talent that's going to cost you a lot of money, why would you take on a contract with a guy who asks for full of money in Realmuto? He's got a big contract. He's got a lot of years left on his contract.
Something that balances it out. Like, I mean, you're not the people you're not getting rid of. You're not getting rid of Schwarber. You're not getting rid of Harper. You're not getting rid of Marsh.
Marsh, I don't. You know what? Don't. The reason I say don't.
Actually, no, because Marsh is center field. You can swap that. That's
no. Well, and Marsh also used to be an Angel too. So there's a history there.
But then, like, the infield. I mean, I don't really know. I mean, other than Alex Bohm and Byron Scott, not even Byron Scott. Alex Bohm is the only one I would keep out of the infield. Stubbs is fine if you're looking to start going younger to go to the next guy. Stubbs is fine on the Phillies if you trade Realmuto.
You're probably going to have to trade Realmuto, Reese Hoskins, Aaron Nola.
Well,
Nola's
a free agent this year.
Yeah, Nola's a free agent at the end of the year. So,
well, the two I just mentioned, you're definitely going to have to trade.
And Nola's not going to be a Philly next year. He's already kind of made it known that he's bouncing.
He's bouncing. Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, like, I'm looking at this, and it's like, okay, you have all this. That leads to the next story. Shohei Ohtani comes out and says that he is going to be a pitcher. He is still going to pitch and hit next year.
So that means he's having Tommy John, in other words.
It looks like he's going to be having Tommy John surgery.
For the second time in his career.
Which then looks like he's missing all of next year.
Right, so if he's a free agent, if he's definitely not going to re-sign with the Angels. If you're a team, do you take a... what do you do with a guy with? How do you offer a contract to a guy who's going to be out the entire year? And how much do you give him?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I mean, think about it. I mean, I know if I'm any team that can afford him, let's just go there, like Yankees, Mets, Philly, I don't know if St. Louis can afford him. I don't know. But are you willing to pay a guy all that money to know he's not going to even perform for you next year? Because before that, you're getting a guy that you knew was going to be on the field before his arm went.
Right.
Now you know he's not going to – if he's come out and said, I'm having Tommy John, I'm more likely done for the year. Next year, I'm done for the I'm not playing in 2024. That's going to affect who wants him, how much you're willing to pay for him, and, I mean, there's other factors, too, that I can't think of off the top of my head, but the major factor is you're getting an attraction in Shohei Ohtani.
That's the reason why they're keeping him.
That's it.
But when you go to when he's going to another team, he's not going to play.
Not for the first year.
Yeah, you can't guarantee that.
Not for the first year. He's not going to play for the first year because he's going to need Tommy John surgery. I mean, if he's strict, okay, strike that. If he comes back next year as a straight hitter, he can come back after the All-Star break. If he's planning on holding out and just waiting until he can pitch, then he's out all year.
Right.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't know. Christian, what do you think on that?
Whatever he does, it's going to be talked about. But, you know, the fact that he needs the surgery doesn't make you think he's doing too much.
Yeah, I mean, he comes out and says that he's not going to – he's going to come back and pitch next. He's going to come – when he's healthy, he's going to come back and pitch. So I'm like, okay, so you have a torn PCL. You're going to need Tommy John. You're out all next year. Again, unless he comes back after the Tommy John, I was about to say Papa John, and just be a DH, he could do that. And then that's like John said, that's him being an attraction for those say 3 months.
But here's one other thing too that I agree with what you just said. But here's another thing. All right, he comes back after July or late July, early August.
Yeah.
And just hits.
Yeah.
And he re-injures that arm again.
It's very rare to do that. To have Tommy John on strictly hitting, that's rare.
But here's my only thing. If he's still continuing to rehab while he's still playing the arm for pitching, there's a chance he could have another injury.
He could have a setback. He could have a setback.
Thank you. That's what I say. He could have a major setback, and then what happens? You're fucked.
Yeah. Then you're down a different road. Then you're looking at your career possibly being over.
And you're looking at all that money that's on the contract, which we've all speculated. If a healthy Shohei Ohtani was going to get upwards of what, $600 or $700 million?
12 years, $770 million a year. It looks like
that would be the biggest contract in baseball history, right?
Yep.
Oh, without question,
without a shadow of doubt. I mean, reality though, you think about it, you're paying what, $30 million a year for the pitching, the rest in the what, $50 million for hitting.
It's like you're getting two players for the price of one.
It would be $20 million for pitching because he's not a one. He's more like a three in the rotation. So $20 million a year for pitching, and then you're giving him $50 for his bat.
But
I mean,
there's still a chance of an injury. That's what I'm saying. It's like,
oh well, I mean, there's a chance just anyone stepping out on a ball field, there's a chance for an injury.
I know, but with a player of his caliber, what he's capable of doing when he's healthy is absolutely fucking amazing. I don't think any of us would disagree with that.
No, he's literally at the hit by a truck bus, hit by a truck moment where he could literally stop playing for the rest of this month and he's still going to win MVP.
Yeah.
But my worrisome thing is like, I mean, there are very few teams that we already know that can afford to pay him what he's going to want. If I'm those teams, I'm back of my mind. I'm like, do I even take a shot at trying to even negotiate a contract with him?
Here's the thing. Even the cheapest teams should be willing to fork up as much money as they can to get this man because they know they're going to get it back tenfold. Every team should try to at least make a reasonable attempt. Like I said, people can give him $70 million a year. It's now the question is does he want years or just the money? Because if he wants to go to a certain spot and they're giving him 5 years, $70 million, he's going to go. If he wants 12 years, if he wants the years, then he's going to take the same amount of money for the most years, which that's where you get into the elite, like the Mets, the Yankees, the Dodgers, and so on and so forth.
Right.
You're right, but I'm just thinking hypothetically, it's like...
No, you're absolutely right, but I'm also saying like something like someone like the Pirates can 3 years at that price point.
But here's the other bottom line. It's like this is the one thing none of us have said yet. What is the one thing he probably wants other than the money and the years? He wants a ring.
Well, that's what I mean, but that's the other thing. It's like it stacks up, but I'm saying every team should be for this player. I don't give a shit if you're the cheapest team or the most expensive team in the league. Every team should be breaking open the bank book to get this guy because you should know. Look at the Angels. No matter what they – how deep in the shitter they've been. Fuck, if you're the Kansas City Royals or the fucking Oakland A's, you can sell out every fucking night because he's there and make your money back tenfold.
Yeah, but if you're a – look, I mean, I'm not an athlete.
I'm looking at this as an owner spot.
I'm just saying, Ryan's the only athlete here.
me and Christian both take cause of that. Like,
well, no, I'm just saying he's the only one who does anything athletically right now. I know you both guys have done your share in the past, but an athlete's goal is to win the most of, you know, like in wrestling, he wants to win titles. He wants to win that. But for like, baseball, you know, you want to win batting titles. If you're a pitcher, you want to win the Cy Young and stuff like that. But your ultimate goal is to be a world champion. So you can have that, say, I was a world champion. That's what I think Shohei wants. But you're saying go to the A's, go to the – he's not going to go to the fucking Royals or the A's.
No, I'm not – that's not what I'm saying, though, John. That's not what I'm saying. We all know he's not going to go to those bottom-of-the-barrel teams. He's not going to go to Colorado. He's not going to go to those teams. But they should be picking up the phone and calling him.
Oh, will he field calls? More than likely.
Every team will reach out to him. That's what I mean. Every team needs to reach out to him. I don't want to hear, oh, well, we couldn't afford him, so we're not going to make the fucking phone call. No, every team should be calling him to try to get him. That's the difference.
All right. Well, let me ask this, and this is for everybody. What, other than the teams that we've already mentioned, the Yankees and all that stuff, the Dodgers and all that stuff, where are three other teams that you could see likely him landing? San Diego. Okay. Well,
I say San Diego. I'll say.
See, it's not as easy as you thought, is it?
No, because he's looking at places that he could fit that have the money to it. I got a team.
What do you got?
The Rangers.
Nah, I'll do you one better.
All right, what do you got?
Houston.
Hmm.
Look.
They could.
Houston, look. They have the sneaky balls to do it.
Yeah.
I'll get you one. That's a young enough team that could win a title in the next 2 years. Cincinnati.
Huh.
Nah, that's not a bigger, nah, he needs to be in a bigger market.
No,
Ryan,
but,
does Ryan, Ryan,
no matter where he goes, the market's going to join. The market's going to follow him. No matter where he goes.
Wait, you, Ryan. You got a choice or no?
Cincy, really?
Listen, I'm also saying how that team is being built right now. You had Shohei, that's the final piece.
All right, that's fair. He is the final piece.
With how they're being built right now with their young players, he's the final piece of that puzzle. That's how I look at it. Listen, I'm not also being a homer and turning around and saying the Mets are the Cubs.
And I appreciate that.
Yeah, so I'm looking at it as, like, I don't see the Brewers. I see, a sneaky team that maybe in Miami. I don't think
I was just going to say the fucking Marlins. The Marlins could snake in there and get it because the Marlins have enough young talent.
Hey, Christian.
Hmm.
I got one.
Hmm.
Seattle.
I could see that too. You know
why?
Wow.
Him in the outskirts of Ichiro and Griffey?
And with J-Rod there now?
With J-Rod? Oh,
damn.
Or I'll even give you another one. Toronto.
Nah, I don't see Toronto. I can't see Toronto. You know what? The reason I say that is because they got Vlad Jr. and Bo Bichette coming up in another year or two, or both free agents. I think they're going to desperately try to keep both of them guys there.
They'd be stupid not to.
Exactly. They'd be stupid not to let those two guys go because those are two of their homegrown kids, and the fans love both of them to death. If one of them went, I think it would kill that franchise. I'm not saying it would, but it definitely would. That's like where I said it the last time. It's like when the Mets traded Tom Seaver. When the Mets traded Tom Seaver in 77, the fan base was crushed for years. You let one of those top guys go. I'm not saying these guys are on Tom Seaver's level, but damn near close. Bichette and Guerrero are both great players. None of us will argue that, disagree with that fact.
No.
But I think Toronto's going to want to keep both those guys, and they're going to have to cough up some serious cash to keep both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they will.
And as long as Ohtani stays away, they definitely can financially probably do it. But if they went out and snaked Ohtani, they're telling their fan base, wait, take your pictures of Vlad and Bo now because they're going to be gone in 2 years anyway.
All right.
A lot of restructuring can go on in that amount of time.
Yeah.
So, all right. Quick hits on these. Altuve is the fourth major league player in history with three home runs in the first three innings.
Impressive.
Yeah.
The Jays put Moyer on the temporary inactive list. Cookie Carrasco is done for the year with a broken pinky.
Oh, God, there's so many jokes I can make there.
In a weight room, at least it's not a zipper.
At least he catches dick in a zipper. We all
and this one hurts. McCutcheon out for the year with a partially torn Achilles.
McCutcheon.
That sucks. Fuck McCutcheon.
McCutcheon's done. That's going to kill his career.
He was only he was coming back to retire as a Pirate.
And he might have, and he was with the Pirates. I think he succeeded in that. He's not coming back from that. Not at his age.
No.
He's what? I think, I don't have his numbers. I think he's like 39 or 40 years old, I think, McCutcheon?
39,
okay. I wasn't sure. Yeah, come back at... Yeah, no, he ain't coming back from that.
And the Yankees are a bunch of fucking morons, too. And let me explain why, Christian. They just put Rizzo out for the season because of post-concussion syndrome.
That shit should have happened 2 months ago.
Thank you!
Christian said that a couple weeks ago with him.
They
said that a couple weeks ago.
They shut him down yesterday.
And you know what? And then another thing too is somebody said that with Marte. Okay, got hit a couple of times. He got hit in the head with a pitch, and they think that's what he's dealing with too, with the migraines. I have a feeling that's why he hasn't been back.
Yeah.
Well, that and his groin kept giving him issues, but that's beside the point.
And then finally, oh, I can't believe I got to report this shit.
Uh-oh.
The Dodgers put Julio Urias on the inactive list due to felony charges of domestic violence.
Crank up the wood chipper.
No. Wood chippers for good old Maps.
And Wander Franco.
Again, I If you know what maps means, then you know exactly where I'm getting at. No, this is for domestic abuse. He should get thrown in jail and beat the shit out of. If true. But he's being brought up on, he's on the indefinite administrative leave. And this came 4 hours ago.
You know what? Speaking of indefinite suspensions, did you hear the news that broke yesterday?
What's that?
Of?
Jack Perry has been suspended indefinitely.
Yeah, I heard that.
Why was he suspended indefinitely? I know why he was.
For his involvement in the kerfuffle.
Yeah.
Does anybody know what the fuck happened with that?
Yeah, I'll tell you off.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll talk about it off air.
Okay.
So, administrative leave is officially immediate disciplines under the joint of domestic violence, sexual assault, and child abuse policy. So, this one, not child abuse, not sexual assault, domestic violence.
DV-119.
Which is still pretty bad, because... Wasn't there a Yankee? Now, I'm not saying this. Wasn't there a Yankee that was attached to domestic Christian?
I mean, it's New York. I'm sure there's been quite a few.
Yeah, with what's his name?
Watch your tongue, Ryan.
What's the guy's name that threw the perfect game?
Herman.
Yeah.
Domingo Herman.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's in a Betty Ford clinic right now.
You know what area of New York I'm talking about.
You get it.
Hey, both of you can kiss my ass.
But this is not his first time on this list. This is not his first time on this list, though, because he was suspended for 20 games for domestic battery.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a repeat offender.
Repeat offender.
Well, he's got a, what is he, part of the hit squad? Moffin Matt.
I mean, depending on where you can go with that joke.
No, but I'm saying, was it that the hit Moffin Mac's old?
Yeah, repeat offender. Yeah,
repeat offenders.
Until further notice. Yeah, here's the thing. Was arrested Sunday night on felony charges of corporal injury on a spouse.
Corporal injury.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
First off, just forget that it's a felony charge of domestic violence. Felony charge.
That's you're talking possibly years of jail time on that one.
Okay, you're talking serious jail time.
Yeah.
And he's a free agent after the end of the season, too.
He's going to be a free agent for a while.
Now listen. We talked about another Dodger that's starting to get his career back in order. Yeah, I defended him. This motherfucker can go rot and go play in China. Or the Arizona Penal League.
California Penal League.
I know what I said.
All I'm saying is he could probably pick up a few tricks from Ricky Vaughn.
Yeah. Oh, shit, I got cut already? Shit,
I got cut already.
Take that guy's uniform.
but that's gotta put a you know, and here's the thing,
give him a heater.
I could say so many jokes, but I won't. But with a guy like that, he knew he was a free agent coming up. He knew he was in a contract year. Why would you fuck up so bad as to fuck up your livelihood for something stupid like this? And he's stupid. The guy's a schmuck. Anybody that puts his hands on a woman is a schmuck anyway.
Stupid! You're so stupid!
A UHF reference. Wow. Weird Al would be proud.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I don't know. It's just... I'm sorry. You put your hands on a woman like that, and, you know, I'm sorry. I said it before. Crank up the wood chipper for that one.
I don't put wood. I put more maps in wood chippers than I do.
I said what I said. But what other news you got? Baseball related? Anything else or no?
What else? Baseball. That's really it. That's the last big one. I think the McCutcheon one really fucking hurts.
McCutcheon, yeah. I know. Ryan, I know you don't like him, but he was good. He was good when he was the Yankee for like 2 minutes, and when he was a Philly.
Fuck, he wasn't.
No, to me, you watch. To me, McCutcheon is always going to be
McCutcheon. McCutcheon.
I know what I said.
He's not from around here. Don't. We don't want to claim him.
I mean, no. That's managers from the Mets.
Nah, seriously. When we got him, all I kept saying was, "Oh, okay. Like, this would have been great 6 or 7 years ago."
He's the most known as a Pirate. I mean, you think about it. Is where did he go afterwards? Oh, I can't remember. Yeah, where did he start? Oh, he's a Pirate. No shit.
I think he went to, after the Yankees, I think he went to Philly. I think he went to Philly for a few years.
Yeah, I remember when he won an MVP. Yeah, he was good in his prime.
Oh, he was damn good in his prime.
And I'll be honest.
Did you guys ever hear the
story? I thought he retired when he was as a Pirate. I didn't think he was still in the league.
Did you guys ever hear the story he told about his interaction with Jeter?
Yes.
Do you remember that, John?
I don't remember that. You have to refresh my memory on that one.
So the night when Derek got elected to the Hall of Fame, you know, everybody was congratulating him on social media and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And here, let me see if I can actually find it. I'll read you the caption because, like,
while you find that, I'll tell you the teams he was on. He was a Pirate. Then he went to the Giants for a year, the Yankees for half the year, then Philly. Then Brewers, and now he's back. And then he's back with the Pirates.
Yeah, so basically, he had a cup of coffee with the Yankees, and the Brewers.
5-time All-Star, NL MVP, Gold Glove, 4-time Silver Slugger, and a Roberto Clemente Award winner.
Okay, now he's looking up all this stuff. Well, he's Rock Christian. Is he a first ballot Hall of Famer?
No,
hell no.
Batting average of .276. Just over 2,000 hits, under 300 home runs, just over 1,000 RBIs. No.
Okay.
So he's not a Hall of Famer in any way, shape, or form.
No.
All right. You want to hear? I found it.
All right. What you got?
He said, "I'm a bit late, but wanted to share this story about Derek Jeter. After my rookie season, I was out around Tampa and saw Jeter in the same building as me. I mustered up enough courage to go and introduce myself before I can get one word out. He looked at me and said, 'Cutch,' as if we had met before. My soul was shooketh, and then he laughed. We started to talk, but were interrupted by other people wanting to talk to him. Instead of forgetting about me and talking to others, which would have been understandable, he asked me not to leave, and he kept his hand on my shoulder to make sure I didn't. He shook a few hands and then continued his convo with me. That stuck with me because a guy of his stature not only knew who I was, but made time for me even though he was being pulled in so many directions. Congratulations on making the Hall of Fame. You deserve it, and I am glad I was able to share the same field as you."
That's classy. I'll give him that. That's classy.
He's still a fucking douchebag, though.
Hey, you're
respectful. Okay, Ryan, now why is it that I know why I don't like certain players. Why don't you like him?
Yeah, Jeet!
Why don't I like him? Because he was a piece of shit, fucking straight up, like, flash player. He wasn't worried about winning games. He was worried about getting on fucking SportsCenter.
I mean, that got him the cover. That motto literally got him the cover of the show.
Ooh, yeah. Got the cover of the show. Good job.
I'm just saying, that's what got him. That's what got him the cover.
It got him the cover of the show. Is it going to get him into the fucking Hall of Fame?
No.
Is it going to get him Super Sam?
No. Oh, I mean, he probably is already in Cooperstown. You get the point.
Hey, hold on a second.
It's the Pete Rose argument there. Well, Pete Rose is already in Cooperstown. No, he's not. His stuff is. Not him.
Yeah, parts of him is.
All right. I have one for you. I have a guy for you that, is he a Hall of Famer or not a Hall of Famer? And then we'll get into football. And this just came across the wire last night, and I'll tell you why afterwards, but Christian likes to call him Glass Carlo. Giancarlo.
No, you had it right the first time. Glass Carlo.
Hey, be respectful. He's been doing well lately.
Hall of Famer?
Yeah, he'll get in, but not on the first ballot.
Yeah, he won't be a first guy, but he'll get in.
Now,
yeah,
Christian, I think, already knows why I'm going to say this. The reason he's going to get in is because he just hit his 400th home run.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he'll get in.
The man has not played a full season in 4 years, and he has 400 home runs. Even if he plays this pace going across his next 8 years, he's going to hit 500 home runs. This man plays almost under 100 games a year, and he puts up 30 home runs a year. Imagine if this man stayed healthy.
All right, I got a question for you when you're
and
done.
He's only 33.
Here's the thing. Now, if he stays healthy, I mean, he's early on in this guy's career, has been healthy. If Pete Alonso continues the pace he's doing.
What the hell happened?
Did you get kicked?
I guess, yeah.
Ryan got kicked earlier, so. Skype is acting like a bitch tonight.
God damn you, Chris.
I didn't say it. But Christian, hold on. But let me rephrase this real quick. Christian. If he keeps up this pace, he hits 500 home runs. Is he a first ballot then?
No, but he'll still get in.
Okay.
All right, but here's the thing. Now, if Alonso stays healthy for the next 10 years without any injury and continues to hit 40 to 50 home runs a year, because he's got a shot at 50 this year. I mean, will he make it? Probably not, but he's close. He's got 42, if memory serves, because he needs 8 more to get to 50 for this year. If he can hit, how fast will he hit? And he's only 28. How many years do you think it'll take him to get 400 or 500 at the rate he's going?
Well, the thing is, though, is we don't, honest to God, know. The thing is all right, so right now he's got 188. And he's got almost 500 runs batted in.
Right.
The thing about it is you can't say he's going to be putting up 50 home runs a year or 40 home runs a year. I'm just saying, nobody can. Even Pujols couldn't do it consistently. Bonds couldn't even do it consistently. I'm just saying, none of them could do it consistently. If you have to average probably about 30 a year. The top power hitter averages 30 home runs a year.
All right, let me rephrase that. Do you see Alonso breaking 500?
If he stays healthy, yeah.
If he does, do you think Alonso would be a first ballot Hall of Famer?
Not first ballot. He'd get in. But not first ballot. Unless he gets a ring. He gets a ring with those home runs and he can hit 1,500 ribbies? Yeah, then you kind of have no choice but to put him in as a first ballot.
I mean,
the thing is, right now, it's the what-if game. Pete's not been playing that, hasn't been playing that long yet.
Yeah. But my only fear is it's like now that I realize I said that, everybody was thinking David Wright was going to be the next like 400 or 500 home run guy, until he got hurt, and then his career pretty much.
Yeah, Pete, though, was a different fucking, that's a different fucking animal. Pete fucking had literally a fucking skull, was like scoliosis.
No, David Wright had spinal stenosis.
But you get my point. Like, that's a little, that's different.
Right. Definitely Cohn's got to break out the checkbook and got to get him signed long term. We can't let Pete touch free agency, because if he does, the Yankees are going to be all over him like you wouldn't believe.
Right. Come on, Pete. Come on.
Oh, I can't imagine Pete in Yankee Stadium on a daily basis.
Hey, look at it this way. They're trying to get rid of Rizzo now because he's got concussions.
Right.
Oh, shit. You're not wrong.
Unfortunately, I'm not wrong.
But no, I mean, I could never see, don't take this the wrong way, Christian, to see him in those pinstripes would break my heart. But, hitting the way he hits home runs in Yankee Stadium with that short porch, oh. He hit 70 fucking home runs a year.
But, all right, that's it for baseball. Let's get into college football.
All right, I'll be right back on that. Nope.
All right. All right, let's just get right into this. Christian, how about them Duke boys?
Yeah. Clemson just wasn't prepared. You know, and Duke came out and just executed the game plan, and they were more consistent, and, you know, they finished plays. Clemson just couldn't get into a rhythm. It's going to be a long season for Clemson, and I think, you know, this showed that Florida State is truly the class of the ACC.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so just recap from week one. I'll run through real quick. Rutgers beat Northwestern, covered. Penn State beat West Virginia, covered. Michigan beat ECU, what a shock, but did not cover. Notre Dame covered against, Tennessee State. Stanford upset Hawaii. Temple beat Akron and did not cover. Colorado upset TCU. We talked about that on Monday. Go back and listen to Monday Evening Quarterback for analysis of that Colorado game.
I mean, we can still talk about it here a little bit.
Well, we'll dive into that when we get into Colorado-Nebraska.
Okay.
UNC beat South Carolina and covered. FSU upset LSU because they were actually dogs going into that game. Duke upset Clemson. Utah beat Florida and covered. Houston beat UTSA and upset them by two. Virginia Tech covered against Old Dominion. Fresno State, a pat on the back on that one, upset Purdue. Cal blow out North Texas. Washington blew out Boise. And Illinois did not cover against Toledo. I mean,
I think my biggest takeaway of week one was North Carolina and how they beat South Carolina, because coming into the game, Ronnie, what was one thing that I said was my biggest concern with North Carolina?
Was
their defense.
Defense, yeah.
Their defense and the ability to be balanced offensively. And looking at the numbers, British Brooks, who was my X factor for the Tar Heels, they fed him the ball 15 times, and he rushed for over 100 yards. So they didn't put everything on Drake May's plate. So I was impressed with that, number one. And number two, I like what I saw from their defense. And you remember what I said coming into the game? I didn't need them to necessarily be Georgia Bulldogs great. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Get off the field. Make your stops, and get the ball back to your offense. And they executed that just perfectly. Mac Brown said it before the game. We want to be a more physical group. We want to be able to pound that ball up front. We want to win the battle of the trenches on both sides of the ball, offensive line and defensive line. And they did just that in that game. Now, can they build off of this? That's the question right there. We'll find out. That's for damn sure.
Yeah.
All right. Ryan, did you catch any games at all or nah?
No, I've been working a fucked up schedule.
Gonna say it's week one, honestly, other than the Duke upset and the what's it called? The kind of fraudulent TCU game. I need to see more before with Colorado. I need to honest to God see more until I actually put them on this. Actually, like that Prime is actually back with them because, God, TCU couldn't tackle a fucking paper bag.
No, they couldn't, and a lot of people are celebrating this like they just won a national championship. Like, you know, it's one game.
It's, yeah, exactly. It's one game. And now they got to go against a team that has a great secondary in Nebraska.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting because Colorado, well, I'll discuss it a little bit more, but there are two lingering issues with Colorado that they need to fix up perfectly, that they need to fix up quickly.
Right. No, you're right.
And I'll talk about it when we do the picks.
Yeah, because...
Ronnie, I'm going to send you the three games that I'm not giving picks for.
Okay, yeah, I got my text. Oh, okay, so...
All right, I just want to say, I listened to a little bit on Monday of you guys doing it. It was from what I was listening to before I went out, great show. Compliments to both of you. It was a great show from what I listened to. I couldn't listen to all of it. I couldn't listen to all of it, but because I had to go out. But very good from what I heard. It sounded really good.
Yep, that's a really get it going. Yeah, I'll let Ronnie know the plans after because I don't want to give too much away while we're live. But thank you.
All right. Let's dive into picks. Oh yeah, I already knew those three games.
He ain't no shit.
I have your old text messages up.
He ain't no shit.
I keep my lunch money from the fourth grade.
Yeah, okay.
That's my purse. I don't know you.
If you know the movie, congratulations. You still got the bills? I got my lunch money from the fourth grade. Man, you... I tripped and fell. I said you fell in the kitchen. Look at you. You're running a Chinese... A Chinese restaurant on the corner of Crenshaw. Oh, God, I love Rush Hour. They need to make a new one. I know they are. I know, actually, they are.
Yeah, what's it, Rush Hour 4?
5.
Rush Hour 5, they need Medicare now? I don't know.
Is it 5 or is it 4?
I don't know. I've lost count.
Hey, listen, we need more Jackie Chan.
Hi, welcome to Chili's.
All right, we ready to dive into our picks for week two?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Kickoff, going to the birthplace of college football. Temple comes in to take on Rutgers. Rutgers is a 10-point favorite.
I like Rutgers.
This is a 7:30 game. Rutgers, it's Christian's dog.
I didn't know what the heck that was.
It's a scarlet letter. It's a rivalry game. Give me Rutgers and they cover. Ryan?
I'll take Rutgers.
John?
Rutgers, what the hell?
All right. Penn State takes on Delaware. There's no spread on this. Obviously, fucking Penn State.
I guess.
Yeah, Penn State. I mean, they're going to roll. Until they get to conference play, I think they're gonna. It's gonna be a heavy dose of that power running game with K. Trent Allen and Nick Singleton.
Drew Allar. I think that's the quarterback now.
You know,
he just kind of has to manage things. He's going to spread the ball around. And most importantly, just don't lose the football game.
It's now time to pad the stat for your Heisman.
Right, and most importantly, the defense is going to handle the rest. So I just think Allar is in a pretty prime situation right now.
Yep. Ryan?
Who was it?
Are you taking the Nittany Lions, some damn good ice cream, or the Delaware Hens? Without Joe Flacco.
I'm a stunt cock, so I'm going to take the Hens.
Thank God we're not betting jerseys on this.
I know.
Oh, don't worry. I got some fun stipulations for the for the next one. Oh, God. Christian!
Mm-hmm.
Going to the island! Hawaii takes on University of Albany. There's no spread on this.
Ain't nobody care.
Yeah, it's Pig Fuckers Anonymous.
Ain't nobody care.
Pig next Fuckers.
Ryan?
I'm going to say Hawaii.
Yeah. John?
I'm with Christian on that one.
Oh, we're all going to Hawaii. Yay. All right, Notre Dame is home against North Carolina State. I am sorry. This game is a 7.5-point spread. How the fuck, period, stop. How the fuck is NC State a 7.5-point dog? Where you almost lose to fucking UConn.
But they won by 10 points.
No, they won by 7.
Oh, was that what it was?
I think it was 7. Even if it was 1 by 10, honestly, the score does not really determine how this game was. The game actually – watching the game, it actually pissed me off because, in all honesty, they did not do shit. They couldn't run the ball at all. They couldn't move the ball. The quarterback was the leading rusher.
And that's the problem. What's the thing you always hear me say? Stop putting everything on your quarterback.
Yeah.
You know,
so,
like, look, I get it's a quarterback-driven game now, but, you know, your quarterback is just one guy. That's why I always say it's so important to have balance.
Now, this game is in Raleigh. I'm wrong. It's not in South Bend. It is in Raleigh, but it's a nooner. And Sam Hartman, the last game he ever played for Wake Forest was against NC State, and they blew them out. Revenge game?
Nah, I just think Notre Dame has too much across the board.
No, I'm saying Tim Hartman's going to freaking roll NC State.
Yeah, definitely.
So, John, who are you taking, Irish or the Wolfpack?
I don't even know.
Notre Dame or NC State?
I'll take NC State with hell.
Christian?
I'm taking Notre Dame.
Ryan?
NC State.
Said, thank God we're not betting jerseys on these because Notre Dame is going to be pissed. UNL, speaking of games that nobody cares, UNLV takes on Michigan. Last time Michigan played a team like this, they didn't cover. So Michigan does not cover this game, but they beat the shit out of UNLV. John?
Who is this now?
Michigan and UNLV.
Michigan. I've heard of Michigan, so.
Christian?
I like Michigan. They're going to keep it moving. This isn't really anything for them, these next couple of games. I think Jim comes back week 4. And, look, they're rolling right now. Like, just J.J. McCarthy's going to do what J.J. McCarthy does. And I'm noticing more aggression from the defense early on. You didn't really see that last year.
No. Ryan, who are you taking?
Shit. That's a good question.
Nationals just walked it off.
I'm on a delay, so.
Yeah, Bickford screwed the pooch.
One more time.
Michigan, UNLV.
Michigan.
All right, now we get into the meat and potatoes. Nebraska takes on Colorado. They are home, and they are a 3-point. Colorado is a 3-point favorite against Corn.
Now, look, Colorado did a lot of good things the other day. You know, the one thing I took away was outside of Travis Hunter being able to do it on both sides of the ball. Anytime pressure was thrown in the face of Shedeur Sanders, he wasn't rattled by it. He was just very cool, calm, collected. And most importantly, I call it the four C's. Cool, he was calm, he was collected, and most importantly, he was confident. Never rattled, never seemed out of sync or anything like that. Defensively, remember I said they had two issues. Defensively, they can't stop the run. And that's going to be a problem because everybody on their opponent, on their schedule now, that's facing Colorado is going to do what?
Run the damn ball
down their throat until they can stop it. So don't be surprised if you see Nebraska come out and pound that rock in between the tackles, right? So there's that aspect right there. Then Colorado had a tough time running the football the other day. I think they only ran it for like 55 yards, and that's not going to cut it. If they can elevate that number to 95, maybe even 100, 110 yards at the most, that's something. But because here's the thing, Shedeur is not going to throw for 500 yards every single game. You can't expect him to bail you out. This is why I always talk about what? That balance being crucial and being key. I understand it's a pass-happy league, but being able to run the football and being able to stop the other team's rushing attack, it's a confidence booster. I think Colorado wins this game, but I don't think they're going to run away with it. I think Matt Rhule, he's going to have his young men ready to play.
So the thing is, and I'm actually going on the opposite side of you. I'm actually thinking Nebraska is going to win this for the sole fact that the one thing, the difference between Nebraska and TCU is Nebraska has a secondary that can press these guys. Oh, and they can tackle in the open field.
Ronnie, you're kind of convincing me.
Like Nebraska, it's a Big Ten school. Ten is known for gut, and especially the West, is known for defense. Now, the question is can Colorado's defense and altitude hold Matt Rhule's offense when they're trying to air raid? That's going to be the million-dollar question. But Sanders is not throwing for 500 yards. They're not even going to – they might rush for 100 yards, but Sanders is going to need to – I have a feeling his jersey is going to get a lot dirtier than it was against TCU.
Yeah.
I really like the fact that – everyone is screaming, oh, well, they took out a ranked TCU. Okay, yeah, they were ranked. They're the national they're the runner-ups for the national title. I'm sorry, I have never seen a poor – that looked like JV football tackling in the secondary. You let guys run all over you. Oh, it was 500. I go, yeah, he barely threw 9 yards in the air. And then the rest was missed tackles. So really, how much of that is him actually passing? He hit what, 5 plays for over 30 yards? So, okay, so take out, in reality, what? He may have threw for 170 yards in the air consistently, like straight passes?
So I'm going to say this. I think this is the game where Nebraska's offense kind of comes into fruition. I think they're going to score some points in this game, Ronnie.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
I think Colorado wins this by a touchdown, but I don't see them running away with this game like a lot of people are anticipating.
No, and I think Colorado – I didn't do the rankings earlier for this reason. I'll get to the rankings after we make our picks because there are some shit in these rankings – that, boy, I have an issue with. And it's one of the teams we're talking about right now. But, John, Nebraska, are you taking Corn or the Buffaloes?
I like Corn. Nebraska. I like corn.
Oh, and also, too, Christian, Nebraska's on like an 8-game cover. Corn covers.
Look, I like Matt Rhule. I really do. I think his style of coaching is more suited for the collegiate game than it is the NFL. And look, he's going to have his men ready to play. And to be honest with you, remember how everybody was talking about TCU and how Colorado didn't have a chance in week one?
Yeah.
Nebraska's kind of feeding off of that because everyone's talking about Colorado and how Nebraska doesn't have a chance. You know, I like Colorado. I just want to see how Colorado adjusts.
I'm in the same boat as you.
That right there is the million-dollar question because if they can stop the run, because what's Nebraska's going to come out and pound that rock in between the tackles,
yep.
Right? So if they can stop the run and if Colorado can get a little bit of a ground game going, they're going to win this game by 3 touchdowns. But I just think Nebraska's going to come ready to play. I don't think this is going to be, you know, a game where Colorado just steps on the field and they just feel they have to show up because they're a far more superior team. Because, Ronnie, that's the thing. And, John, hear me out here when I say this. You too, Ryan. Like, a lot of football teams, unfortunately, when they're not used to success, they let it get to their head. You get what I'm saying? So that way, some teams feel like all they have to do is just show up and they celebrate prematurely. Oh, we're better than them. We can show up. You know, this is an easy game. And this is why I always say, I even said it on Monday, even the quarterback the other day, there's no such thing as an easy game in the game of football.
So let me just ask you, Christian. You said it's like, is it like a drug to them? They think, oh, it's a drug. It's going to be easy. I'm the no problem with that. And then all of a sudden, they just get steamrolled.
Yeah, because this is a program that just won one game last year, John. You know, so they've matched their win total from last year. And look, I told Ronnie this on Monday evening, quarterback. Even if they were to win 3 games and lose their remaining 9. It's an improvement from last year. This is a program that went 1-11 last year. So for them to go into Fort Worth, right,
okay,
and beat a team that just played in the national championship, this is the national runner-up that we're talking about, right? The national runner-up should just steamroll their opponent, right? But TCU, it just seemed like every time TCU got ahead, they could never put the game away. I think that was the problem for them, and they let Colorado hang around.
Okay, fair enough.
And Ryan, who are you taking, corn or the Buffaloes? Corn or prime?
I like corn.
I like corn.
All right. Next, Purdue takes on Virginia Tech. This game's a pick 'em.
I'll take Virginia Tech.
I'm taking Virginia Tech.
Right. The Hokies or the Boilermakers?
I'll take your mom out for a nice steak dinner and then never call her again.
Are you having a drink with that or no?
Yes.
Would that be a Boilermaker? Is that who you're going for?
Yep.
I was going to say, are you going to just fucking say it?
Yeah. No, I'm going to make you say it.
Yeah, I'm going Hokies. Virginia Tech. Purdue is the drizzling. It literally, yeah, they can score. But you lost to a Mountain West team, and you literally looked awful doing it.
We're never going to score.
I'm never going to score! Ole Miss is a 6-point favorite against Tulane. Give me the Fighting Kiffins.
So you know all the the nicknames for these teams. I think that's what.
I think
that's why you lose me a lot of times when you say give me this, and I'm like, who the fuck are you talking about?
The Fighting Kiffins. That's the head coach. Lane Kiffin's the head coach.
No, what I'm saying was you've lost me a lot of times when you say, oh, it's going to be the. The Fighting Armadillos against the...
No, it's Ole Miss, Tulane.
You see, if you say that, I might have a better shot at naming it. It's like, But when you go, give me the whatevers, you lose me.
Who are you taking, Ole Miss or Tulane?
Ole Miss.
Christian?
I'm taking Ole Miss here. I think this is going to be a shootout. Where's the game at?
It's in Mississippi.
Yeah, I think that's what's gonna put them ahead. I think this is going to be a shootout. Lane Kiffin is one of the better offensive-minded coaches in college football. But watch out for Michael Pratt, the quarterback of Tulane. He's not going to go down without a fight. I could see 40 points determining the outcome of this game.
Ryan?
I think it's going to be close, but I'm going to go Ole Miss.
Which means Tulane's going to win. Congratulations. All right, I'm just going to pencil in this one for Ryan because I already know who he's gonna take. Texas A&M goes into Hard Rock and takes on Miami.
The U bitches.
Texas A&M is a 5-point favorite.
Fuck the Aggies.
Yeah, they ain't College Station. They're at Hard Rock. Give me the U.
You
taking the Canes.
Taking the Canes.
Christian,
I'm against all of you. I'm taking Texas A&M. They're the more talented roster, but there's a couple things that I'm looking forward to seeing in this game. One, can this Texas A&M secondary keep up with Miami's receivers? You know, Miami has a receiver, Colby Young, 6'4", about 215, possession receiver. But he plays like he's smaller. You know, he plays like a slot guy. Because look at his first touchdown the other day against the University of Miami of Ohio, right? Then I want to see if this Texas A&M offensive line, they can handle the depth and the production of this Miami defensive line, because they're going to come at Connor Wegman. But I just think I don't trust Drew Van Dyke. You know, that's just what it is. What's that quarterback's name? Did I say his name right, Ronnie?
Tyler Van Dyke.
Tyler Van Dyke, yeah. I don't trust him because he can be inconsistent at times, and that's where I think Texas A&M they pull away. They just have more talent on the offensive side of the ball. But I'll be honest with you. Now, I haven't really been impressed with Texas A&M because they hired Jimbo to do what? Put them over the top? Yeah, they've beaten Alabama a couple times, but he hasn't really done it. The best thing he's done is win the Orange Bowl. Like, they hired Jimbo to get to the playoffs and win championships. And, you know, he's yet to deliver on his promise. And Mario Cristobal, he's just trying to get this program back to being relevant.
Yeah. I mean, that's the best way to describe it. All right, next we got the Cyhawk. Iowa versus Iowa State. Iowa State is going to be without 5 players from this gambling incident. 5 players all pled guilty. So there's more to this thing. Iowa is a 4-point favorite. Give me the Hawkeyes.
Anytime they play, it just always seems to be a defensive showdown. Yeah, I think that's what we're going to see here on Saturday. I like the Hawkeyes here.
So this is what, Iowa against Iowa State?
Yep.
So give me the team from Iowa.
The Cyclones. It's the Cyclones versus the Hawkeyes. So it's the Cyhawk trophy.
Christian, take this one for me. I have no idea when it comes to this. I made my joke. I really don't know anything about these two teams, to be honest.
You know what? I'll say this. Cade McNamara needs to score, because there's actually a clause in Iowa's head coach's contract that they need to average 25 points during the season, and they only scored 23, so they need to put more up. So, Iowa. Ryan?
Iowa.
You going to go Hawkeyes?
Yeah.
All right. Cincinnati goes into Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's an 8-point favorite. I don't know how they're an 8-point favorite, but give me Pitt. I actually like Pittsburgh in this, though.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like Pittsburgh as well.
John?
Pittsburgh.
Brian?
Pittsburgh.
All right, next. Christian, you're giving the play, keys to the game. We got Texas versus Alabama. Bama's minus 7.
Well, when they played the last time, when they played last year, week 2, I'm almost convinced that Texas would have beat them last year if Quinn Ewers never went down, right? He was attacking that secondary left and right, and it just seemed like it just seemed like Alabama had a tough time getting home to the quarterback, even with Will Anderson. Now, fast forward, Will Anderson's gone. It's Dallas Turner that's leading the front seven. I think he's key in this game, but I'll say this. Alabama doesn't scare me, Ronnie, because I don't know if Jalen Milroe is the guy that can put them over the top. And when you look at this Alabama team compared to some of the previous ones, they had a playmaker at quarterback, and they had a ton of depth and star power at wide receiver, along with that ground running game. And even without that last year, they still averaged 41 points per game, right? But Alabama, they're going to slow games down. Because, look, you know how many times they committed a penalty last week against Middle Tennessee?
I didn't even see the score box.
Just take a guess.
Two?
Yep. You're absolutely right. Only two. But and that's going to be key. Can Alabama play clean football? Because last time they met with Texas, they committed 15 penalties, right?
Damn.
Yeah, and look, the team that normally commits the least amount of penalties does what? They win the football game. But my thing with Alabama, Jalen Milroe was your leading rusher. So it shows that they don't have any trust in a running back. For Texas, they have to score. They have to score. They have to score. They have to attack. They have to attack. And they have to attack. They're not going to beat Alabama on the lines with physical. With physicality. They're not that type of football team. They're a finesse team. And they aren't big enough or physical enough to pound away for the big yards. But, yeah, Quinn Ewers has to be on his A game. I preview this one on Saturday. Be on the lookout.
John, Texas or Bama?
Bama.
Ryan?
Bama.
I think Bama wins, but they don't cover. I think this game is a field goal game like last year.
I wouldn't be surprised with it, but look, the problem that Texas ran into last year, it just seemed like anytime they pushed the ball up the field, Alabama turned on that mentality. Look, you can run it on us. You can throw it down the field on us. But 25 yards and within that red area of the football field, we're going to shut you down. And that's
it's the bend, don't break.
Exactly. So the key for Texas, like I said, they have to come away with touchdowns in the red zone. You're not going to beat this team kicking field goals.
No. Christian, I just sent you a text. Next, Oregon takes on Texas Tech. Oregon is a minus 7 favorite. After how I watched last night, I got and Texas Tech losing to Wyoming. By the way, Christian, me and you got that one correct.
Mm-hmm.
Oregon should take care of business with Texas Tech.
Yeah, I think they're going to as well. I just think across the board, they have too much firepower. And remember what I told you. I think this could be this year's TCU.
Yeah, I could see that. All right. John, Oregon or Texas Tech?
I'll take Texas Tech.
Ryan?
Texas Tech.
Christian, I'm not shocked at that one. All right, Wisconsin takes on Wazoo. Wisconsin is a 4.5-point favorite.
Wisconsin.
Yeah, I got to go Wisconsin, too.
Yeah, I'm going Wisconsin. It's at Camp Randall, right?
I believe so. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I like Wisconsin at home.
I think even if it's in Wazoo, I like Wisconsin. The cheese. Give me the cheese!
Cheese it.
You taking cheese or you taking Wazoo?
They're going to stuff some cheese in their Wazoo.
All right, two more. UCF takes on Boise. They're going to the Bluegrass. The Bounce House goes to the Bluegrass. Bounce House all fucking day. Boise, I really regret in that freaking Mountain West conference win, because man, Boise looked like shit against Washington. Give me the Bounce House, USC or UCF. Sorry.
I'll take Boise.
I'm going UCF. I'm with Ronnie.
Brian?
UCF.
And finally, Auburn is a 6.5-point favorite against Cal. This is your Pac-12, two packs. Just get drunk and no one gives a shit. This is the 10 o'clock game. This is your West Coast night game. Cal played really well. I think the fact that Cal is only a 6.5-point dog is ridiculous. Give me Cal.
I'll take Cal.
I'm taking Cal.
Yeah. All right. Those are our picks for college. Now we'll run through real quick the rankings, the top 25 from this week. And boy, do we kick off with number 25, down 16 spots. Clemson.
Wow.
How?
Wow.
Like, I get it. You got embarrassed. But to drop to 25th is...
Coach would say on Letterkenny, fucking embarrassing.
Yeah. Oh, no, it is. You're not.
Yeah, it is. You're right.
Ryan, would I be correct in that statement?
Would be 100% correct.
We need to get that fucking soundbite down.
Yeah, I'll work on that after the show. All right. Next on the list, number 24, Tulane. Okay, they won. That's why they're 24th. They didn't move anywhere. 23rd, staying put, Texas A&M.
Huh?
Number 22, Coach Prime in Colorado.
Yeah, you knew they were going to get ranked.
Why? They won one game last year.
Yeah, but...
And then they beat TCU. Okay, means nothing. So then if you have them winning, but if Nebraska comes in and steamrolls them, wins by fucking three touchdowns, doesn't the AP look a little foolish?
We're about to see who they really are.
Yep. All right. 21, Duke. Not a shock.
No, not a shock at all. They played absolutely phenomenal.
20, Ole Miss. 19, Cheeseheads, Wisconsin. 18, after the ass whooping, 77-7, Oklahoma. 17, North Kakalaki.
Yeah, I'm glad they were able to move up. If they can play how they did
The year Clemson won it?
No, not even that. But if they can play how they did on Saturday against South Carolina, they're going to be a tough out. Like,
yeah.
I could see them probably being the biggest threat to Florida State in the ACC.
Number 16, DJU in Oregon State.
You know, he looked good. I think he needed a change of scenery. It was almost like with Bo Nix, you know, just was under tremendous amounts of pressure at Auburn, goes to the Pac-12, and he's really settled in. I noticed that with DJ Uiagalelei the other day.
Yeah, I like DJ being a Beaver. 15, K-State. Okay. Down 9 spots, number 14, LSU. I mean, we knew that was coming.
Yeah, you knew that was coming.
Number 14, or I already said that. Number 13, the Ducks of Oregon.
Quack, quack, motherfucker.
Yeah, I mean, Puddles after 254 push-ups was dead. 81-7, go fuck yourself.
That was the final fucking score?
Yeah.
Did you say 80 fucking one?
Yeah, 81.
Jesus Christ, what is this, Tecmo Super Bowl or something? Jesus Christ.
And after every touchdown, Puddles has to do as many points as they have, it's the mascot, in push-ups. He had to do a total of 254 push-ups.
That mascot's probably like, who's buying me the fucking beer after this?
I can't move my arms. I need a beer. Put it in my IV drip.
I need a beer, and I need someone to hold it for me.
Listen,
deliver the beer with a cheerleader.
I was going to say, listen, I may not be able to do all this now. I'm just going to lay back and enjoy it. Number 12, the Utes of Utah.
Yeah, they're a tough out. I'm telling you. There's nothing fancy or flashy about this group that Kyle Whittingham has. They're going to run the ball. They're going to run it down your throat. The quarterback is going to stay in a pocket. He's going to make plays. They have nice weapons, and they have a very formidable defense. Look, say what you want, and I know a lot of people listening to this may disagree with me, but this is the best team in the Pac-12.
Until told otherwise, yeah. 11, stay in put, Texas. Number 10, how they jumped up 3 spots only because teams lost, Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Number 9, Tennessee. Number 8, Washington. 7, Penn State. 6, the Trojans of USC. 5, the Suckeyes. After barely getting out of the win against Indiana. Number 4, Florida State. Number 3, Bama. Number 2, Michigan. And number 1, Georgia. Yeah.
So you said Alabama's number 3?
Yep.
Florida State should be number 3. Alabama should be number 4.
Yeah, I mean, yes. But that really only came through there because, Bama really only went up 1 because they dropped Ohio State 2 spots.
Yeah.
But, you know, it doesn't really matter now until it is what it is. All right. So we got the NFL breaking news. Joey Bosa signed, so he will be playing against Pittsburgh.
Well deserved. Was the best defense.
Got paid.
Was the best defensive player in the league last year. This kid does it with power. He does it with consistency. He's their Aaron Donald, 49ers defense. They built this unit around him. Why do you think? Because of all the attention he commands, everybody in the linebacking corps and the secondary, they can roam around freely because of Nick Bosa's presence.
Yeah. 5 years, 170.
Nice.
Yep. All right. So, We have a little contest going between at least us three, between me, Christian, Ryan. John, if you want in on this, there's rules to this. It is strictly the NFL.
Okay.
When we make our picks, we're going to rate everything we have. So we're going to go who has the most wins, points, and stuff like that. And this includes what we're about to do now with playoff picks. The person that comes in dead last has to wear a jersey of a person that they completely hate and post it on social media.
Oh, shit.
So I'll say now mine is actually going to be Josh Allen.
Be respectful.
If you understand the show, you know why Josh Allen.
Should have been a Jet.
Yes. Christian?
That's not his fault.
No, but the Jets should have drafted him.
Yeah, so blame your team, not him.
Oh, I do. But I also am upset that it's like I didn't want Josh Allen also to be a Bill. So that I'm just...
You know what? I have something to say to that.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, he's gonna text me, go fuck yourself.
No.
Gonna text you, fuck you in the neck.
Hey, that's my line.
Hey, up your nose with a rubber hose.
Hey, that's gimmick infringement, motherfucker.
Damn, yeah, this isn't it. Hold on. Oh, it's coming, motherfucker.
Yeah. hold on. John, who's gimmick?
Mine, damn it.
Yeah, you haven't debuted him. What gimmick?
Just saying that slogan, fuck you in the neck, that's my line. I've always used that line.
Aw, man, we put Debo back over that part of the show. I am being respectful.
Emotional damage.
I don't get you. John.
What?
What's the given?
We'll talk off air there, Satan.
All right. So, John, do you want in on this?
Yeah, he wants in on this. Everyone's in on this.
Do you want in on this, John, or no?
Yes.
I have. What jersey would I have to? Who do I?
It's your pick. It's the. Honestly,
I'll tell you what motherfucker I never would wear, and it's even though he ain't playing anymore. I would burn my skin off if I have to wear anything with that fucker that used to play for New England was still around.
All right, then here. Okay, hold on. You either have to wear a Brady jersey.
Fuck you.
A Utley jersey or a Howard jersey.
Who?
An Utley jersey or a Howard jersey.
Who's Howard?
First baseman for the Phillies.
I never said anything bad about Ryan Howard.
All right, then Utley.
Fuck you twice. My
man, that's the whole point.
Yep.
I don't think I could have the nerve. I would never pay for a jersey with either one of those motherfuckers' names on it.
That's what the show's for. Show budget.
I'm going to get stuck wearing fucking Patrick Mahomes. That fucking Mahomo.
Hey,
I would love. I would kill to wear a Pat Mahomes jersey. Fuck that.
Well,
I would because I have to wear one. Fuck Patrick Mahomes. Fuck his wife. Fuck his brother. Fuck his brother's wife. And fuck his mother for having him.
Jesus Christ.
Tell us how you really feel.
Jesus Christ.
Emotional damage.
Hey, damn right.
Ryan, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
You need a lap dance?
I mean, I ain't gonna say no.
Stop! He's already dead.
How the f*** you go off one if you ain't gonna give it to me?
What the hell I look like giving you one?
I don't know, but chicken thought.
Christian, he jumped on that pretty fast about, you know, so hey.
Oh, Jesus Christ. All right, so I'm taking Allen. Who are you taking, Ryan? You're taking Mahomes?
Yeah.
Christian?
Okay, I'm back.
he had to go for a lap dance.
who would you take? What? Who's gonna be your jersey if you lose?
Nobody, because I ain't losing.
You gotta say it. We gotta have it on record.
That's great. I ain't losing.
I understand that, but then, what is it?
I said what I said.
I understand that, but you gotta say something.
Man, yeah, you gotta pick somebody.
Look,
come on.
Man, if you don't take your ass to these damn game picks, I said what I said.
So we're just gonna have to pick for him, Ronnie.
No, the hell you not.
Nomar.
I don't have anything against Nomar.
All right, then think of a Boston guy that we can give you that. Pedro.
I don't have anything against Pedro either.
Aaron Hernandez.
Oh, Jesus. Hold on. Can we even get that jersey?
No.
Oh, we can get that jersey.
Yeah, in the black fucking market.
Yeah, and see, him saying that, he ain't shit.
Jalen Hurts?
I don't hate him either. You know who I hate.
I mean, it depends on which way we're going. If we're going
it's
with
a
football.
Baseball player. Manny Machado.
All right. You want to wear a Machado jersey?
Yeah.
Oreo, Dodger, or fucking Padre?
Hey, listen. It don't matter.
It don't matter. More toilet paper.
Actually, you know what? No. Actually, you know what? You know what? Just to even get it better, it would probably be Baltimore because that's a little closer to the Yankee realm.
You sack of monkey jizz.
Sack of monkey jizz.
Damn.
I'm saying. I'm giving you a round of applause on that one. Where did you dig that one up?
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Sack of monkey jizz.
Sack of monkey jizz.
That's almost bad as the jizz ball.
I see a t-shirt in that one's feature.
And you better have my picture on the back of that t-shirt.
All right, John, who's yours?
Anybody got a coin? No. Let me get a coin and I'll flip it because it's got to be. I'll do it legal. Hold on. Let me get a coin because I ain't picking this off. Hold on.
So it's either Brady or Utley. Oh, that's fucking horrible too. He hates both of them.
All right. Let's see. Heads, I got to go with the headhunter in baseball, and tails, I got to go for the schmuck that played in Tampa Bay.
I'd say that or you don't got anything against Trevor Bauer. I say you
Bauer. I gotta go for the bottom feeder in Tampa Bay.
For Brady?
It came up tails. I gotta go with what the coin said.
Oh, dude, I wish you would have went Phillies. Because that would eat you alive if you posted that.
Oh, no, you don't think wearing a Brady jersey is not going to fucking eat me alive?
A picture of John in a fucking Tom Brady jersey?
Yeah. But that's the thing. All of us in those jerseys. Me in a Buffalo jersey, that's like me wearing a fucking – that's me wearing a Ricky Williams jersey.
Dude.
And here's the thing. Do we get to keep these jerseys after they're done?
Yeah, I mean, we're paying for them.
But yeah, once they're paid for, because I'm going to need some toilet paper to get. I'm going to need some acid to get that shit off of me.
Me and a Patrick Mahomo jersey, like.
Oh! Even I got something even better. Ryan, you want to give me shit for stuff that you've done? I got something. Ryan's got to wear it in the fucking ring.
Oh,
fucker! Motherfucker!
Okay, no. All right, fine. No, balance to this. So no. Everything is, you have to cut a promo in the jersey.
Oh, shit. This is for all the bad shit you guys have ever, all the jokes that you've cut on me. I finally got one in.
Or, why don't we get Tebow a t-shirt with the brick that knocked his ass out?
Of
dude.
In the ring, you're
oh no, no, no. But hold on. But to make it better, just so we all have to cut a promo. So Christian, if Christian loses, he should do something for like what's on tap. I have to do a show where I'm on Facebook Live cutting it, and John's got to cut a promo with the jersey on.
Well, what do I have a show for? I don't have a show yet.
No, I'm saying, but you got to cut a promo and film the promo and then put it on our Instagram.
Oh, shit.
Hey, you want him to do it in the ring. You got to match it.
Yeah. You're right.
Dude, that's fucking heinous. What did I ever do to you?
You've made jokes at my expense.
I mean, to you, that's a normal day. To me, it's just Tuesday.
Dude.
Okay.
Did you think I had an evil bone in my body? But yeah, there is one right now.
So.
Then it's not mine.
So, okay. So to kick this off, we through the last couple months, we've been picking divisions and haven't really been placing anything around yet until today.
It's Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm. So what I want to do to close this out is we're going to go around and finish our picks. But I want you to place from 1 to 7, including your wildcard teams, on how each team is going to finish. If you get that exactly right, it's 3 points. And then we tally up, those points will get tallied up to our picks at the end of the year. And that includes, like, who we have as Super Bowl picks and stuff like that.
All right, now you're getting way confusing on a lot of this shit, man.
I'll start, just so you can get an idea. My division winners for the AFC, I have, for the North, I have Pittsburgh, the South I have Jacksonville, the West I have Kansas City, and the East I have the Jets. So I'm going to go for the team that's going to win the first pick is going to be Kansas City. They're going to be the one seed, in my opinion. 2 seed is going to be Jacksonville. 3 seed is going to be the Jets. And 4 seed is going to be Pittsburgh. Now, my wild card teams, the 5 seed I'm going to have the Miami Dolphins. Make sure I got this all correct.
All that shit you're asking is making my head hurt, just trying to think of all that shit.
I have your stuff written down. The only one I don't have anything written down is Ryan's. So, and then we'll go from there. My 6th seed for this is going to be the Cincinnati Bengals. And the 7th, Cincinnati, yes. But I have Pittsburgh winning the North. And the final, and my 7th seed is going to be the Baltimore Ravens. Yes, Christian, I do not have Buffalo in the playoffs.
You don't know shit. You're just making yourself look bad, not me.
So, all right. Now for the NFC, I have the West is San Francisco, North is Green Bay, New Orleans is the South, and Philly is the East. The 1 seed I have right now is going to be San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
With that. 2nd seed is Philly. 3rd seed is going to be New Orleans. And 4th seed is going to be Green Bay. For my wild card teams, I am going to go for the 5 seed. I am going to go with the Detroit Lions. In my opinion, they're just going to miss. The 6th seed I have is the Dallas Cowboys.
You know, at the point where we're going like this, why don't you just give me the fucking jersey now? Because I'm probably going to get fucked so bad.
No, you have your picks.
Yeah, I know. Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm going to be
Well, you can change it. You can change it last minute. I'll tell you what you had. I have everything written down.
I don't even, like I said, this is going to, this is all sounding way fucking confusing right now.
It's a lot simpler than it is.
I'm also running on no sleep and I'm extremely exhausted, so that's why everything.
And my final team I have is going to be the 7th seed, and this was a hard one. I'm actually going to take the Giants as the 7th seed. I was debating between the Giants and the Falcons in there. And I'll just go through this. The Super Bowl I'm going to have is. See, this is going to sound homerish. It really is. Jets versus San Francisco. But I have San Francisco holding up the, getting the ring. And the MVP I have is going to be Trevor Lawrence. So that's literally how I have it. So, all right, Ryan, I don't have any of your picks.
For the AFC?
Go from 1 to 7. Who do you have making the playoffs for the So who do you have winning each division? The AFC.
I think the Bills are going to take the East.
All right, where do you think they're going to finish?
Good question. That's a good question. I don't know.
All right, so Bills. I'll write this down real quick. Just keep going. Go real quick. Who do you got in the North?
In the North, I've got Pittsburgh.
Okay. The South.
I think that one's going to be Jacksonville.
Okay, and the West, KC?
Unfortunately.
All right, and who do you have as a wild card, your three wild cards for the AFC?
The Jets, the Broncos, and...
What was the last one?
Bengals.
All right, now for the NFC... NFC East.
Dallas.
Okay. North.
Detroit.
South.
New Orleans.
West.
San Francisco.
And your wild card teams?
New York, Seattle, and I think Philly's going to be a wild card, but they're going to get knocked out.
Okay, so... We'll go to Christian and John, then we'll come back to you for your order, all right? Unless you can give me an order right now.
Honestly, I don't know.
Okay, because the only reason
don't ask me to try to figure it out. Like I said, right now I'm so tired I couldn't remember half of that shit right now.
All right, then next week I'll send you what you have, Ryan. Next week we do this. Because I already told you right now, I have San Francisco winning the Super Bowl, and Trevor Lawrence is my MVP.
I think it's going to be a Pittsburgh Super Bowl.
Homer. Christian, do you have any idea of what your thing's going to be, or do you want me to send you what you had?
I had it written down.
Right. Okay, I'm all set. So if you want to tell me what you got, I can write it down.
So the NFC, I have Lions winning the North. I have the Eagles winning the East. I have the Saints winning the South, and I have the 49ers winning the West.
All right, so give me 1 through 4. How do you have them seated?
49ers 1, Eagles 2, Saints 3, Lions 4.
Okay, wild cards.
My three wild cards in the NFC. I have two more teams from the NFC East. Once again, getting there. I think it's going to be the same wild cards that we had last season. The Giants, the Cowboys, and the Seahawks.
All right. How did you have them ordered?
Cowboys 5, Seahawks 6, Giants 7.
Okay. What about AFC?
I have the Bengals winning the North. I have Buffalo. I have the Bills winning the East. I have Jacksonville winning the South. And I have the Chiefs winning the West.
Okay, give me your order.
I have Cincinnati as the one seed. I have Buffalo as the two. And I have Kansas City as the three and Jacksonville as the four.
And your wild card teams, in order. Just give
the Steelers at five, the Jets at six, and the Ravens at seven.
I mean, you actually have both at the same spot. All right, who's your Super Bowl game?
I have Philly and Cincinnati.
And winner?
Can't tell you that. Find out Sunday.
Text it to me.
All right.
And then who's your MVP?
Joe Burrow.
All right, cool. And then we'll worry about you two this. Let's get to our picks. All right. Chris.
I don't see John's.
John's not. He's running off with, like, very little sleep. I'm giving him the same amount. I'm giving him.
Just give me a week. Yes, because right now it's like I'm running on, like, zero sleep.
Yeah, that's fine. We don't. One game is not going to affect what he picks. In reality. All right. Kansas City. We open up Thursday Night Football with Kansas City taking on Detroit. Kansas City was a 6.5-point favorite. They're down to a 4.5. Christian, you are previewing this game. Give me your preview, your keys to the game.
Well, this game becomes a lot more interesting now because the big wild card is Travis Kelce. Is he going to play?
Nope. He's already been ruled out.
Oh, he has been ruled out?
Yep.
Wow. So for the Lions, it's simple. You know, they got to slow the game down. Slow the game down, and when you have an opportunity, you have to attack. I'm attacking the Chiefs' defense because they're also going to be without Chris Jones. Chris Jones is the Chiefs' best defensive player. But Kansas City, I think, has something to their edge because after Kelce, you really don't know who to zoom in on, who to double. I preview this one tomorrow. Before the game, be on the lookout.
So before we get into this, I just want to make perfectly clear. He is questionable for the opener, Kelce. He's most likely going to be out. They're just saying questionable. But Jones looks like he could play tomorrow night, even during the holdout.
Okay.
So I that doesn't mean anything to you. Just so you know on that. But, John, who are you taking? Patty Mahomes or the Detroit Lions?
I got to stick with Patty Mahomes because I just think that kid's just finally – I think he's really starting to come into his prime. I really don't think
– This is his prime. You're absolutely right. He's about to enter the peak of his career. And look at everything he's done before his prime.
As much as I know having those guys out that you're saying that are out, like I said, I probably won't remember this tomorrow, but anyway, no, I'm going to stick with Patty Mahomes on this one.
Ryan, Kansas City or Detroit?
I think it's going to be close, but I think it's going to be Kansas City.
Yeah, I can't going into this even without Kelce as of right now being out. I can't. Kansas City. I think you're going to see guys like what the hell is his name? Guy from the Giants. Why am I spacing on his fucking name?
Cool, Kadarius Tony.
Tony, thank you. Going to be more of a factor in this game than anything else. You're going to start seeing Mahomes get back to guys like Pacheco and stuff like that. It's going to start being an older school game, old school style game. So let the chips fall where they may with that one. This should be a good game. I think if this stayed at 6.5, I would have rather had Detroit when it comes. I don't think it would have actually had the spread as 10. Now I think without Kelce, the spread's exactly where it needs to be at 4.5. So Kansas City. All right, next game, the Carolina Panthers are a 3.5-point dog against Desmond Ridder and Bijan Robinson of the Atlanta Falcons. Give me Hotlanta.
Yeah, I like the Falcons here. I think that run game is really going to catapult them to victory.
Yeah, I'm going with that. I'm going with Atlanta.
Brian?
Atlanta.
Bijan Robinson on top of that anytime touchdown. All right. Cincinnati takes on Cleveland. Cincinnati is a 2.5-point favorite. It looks like Joe Burrow will be playing in this game.
Yeah, but how healthy is he? I think that's the million-dollar question right there. And if I'm Cleveland, I'm testing his mobility, and I'm testing that calf early on. But it always seems that Cleveland presents such a tough challenge to Cincinnati, especially in Cleveland. I like the Browns here for the upset because they have two aspects of the game where they're going to test the Bengals. One is that offensive line. You got to deal with Myles Garrett, and you got to deal with Za'Darius Smith. And two, that secondary. That secondary just lost Jesse Bates to the Atlanta Falcons. And I just want to see who they're going to put on Amari Cooper. I think Cleveland comes away with a victory.
Now, what's that? What's Burrow's injury?
Hamstring.
Hamstring? How many weeks out is he from this happening?
What was it, July? He got hurt in July, right?
Yeah, like late July.
Yeah, it was like right when training camp opened.
I'm still going to go Cincinnati.
So, Ward, it looks like he's not going to make this game. So now here's the question, who covers Ja'Marr Chase? Ward is out with concussion protocol.
And he plays for who, Cincinnati?
For Cleveland.
Oh, Cleveland.
So with that being said, the question is can Cleveland get home? On top of that, which Watson are we going to see? Are we going to see Houston, or are we going to see what we saw last year with Cleveland? I think Cincinnati squeaks by. The spread is right. I think Cincy takes it by a field goal. Brian?
Cincy, yeah, by 3.
All right. Jags are a 5-point favorite against Indy. This is not in Jacksonville. Indy does not have a running game anymore unless you count their quarterback running the ball. Give me Jacksonville.
Yeah,
Jacksonville.
I like Jacksonville as well.
Yeah.
Tony Khan hot dogs.
Funny.
Listen. The goal line is not a line of coke, Tony. Stay in the fucking box. Makes as much sense as WWE selling a Jacksonville Jaguar commemorative title.
Which I think is fucking hysterically funny.
We're all taking Jacksonville?
Yeah.
Okay. Tampa Bay goes down to Minnesota. Minnesota is a 6-point favorite. This is a 1 o'clock game with Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins don't miss. Give me Minnesota.
Yeah, I like Minnesota as well.
You got to say it the right way.
Minnesota. Wood chippers as far as the eye can see. Wait, that's far.
Yeah. I like the Vikings. I definitely like the Vikings in this one. It's another chapter of Buccaneers football. You got 3 years from Brady. You got a Super Bowl out of it, a couple of appearances in the playoffs. But you go from Tom Brady to Baker Mayfield. God, what a drop off.
Yeah. Ryan, you're taking Minnie too?
Yeah.
Ryan, yeah, I don't trust Tampa. All right, New Orleans. Taking on Tennessee. I have New Orleans winning the division. They start now with actual quarterback and coaching. Give me New Orleans.
Give me New Orleans.
Yeah, I like New Orleans too. I trust Derek Carr more than I trust Ryan Tannehill. And this Saints defense, they're going to be up to the task of sitting on that line of scrimmage and shutting down Derrick Henry.
Yep, Ryan, I didn't hear what you said. Who are you taking?
Nollins, my friend, Nollins.
Nollins. All right, it's pretty much chalk through here. I think we're going to split this one, though. San Francisco goes into, formerly known as Heinz Field, to take on the Pittsburgh Steelers. And Kenny Pickett. Even with Bosa getting his contract, I still like Pittsburgh. I think Pitt wins this.
Yes, sir.
Get out the terrible towels, Pittsburgh.
I'm against all of you. I like the 49ers here. I trust Brock Purdy more than I trust Kenny Pickett. I still love you, Ryan.
That's fair enough, but I get it, man. Especially after last season.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm also looking at the Steelers secondary because who are they going to put on Ayuk and who's going to cover Kittle in space? Is it going to be Minka? Is Minka Fitzpatrick going to take on that responsibility? And man, I just think the 49ers have more depth on the offensive side. You have Brock. You have CMC. You have George Kittle. You have Deebo Samuel. And you have Brandon Ayuk. You know, that's a pretty strong offensive nucleus.
It is.
All right. Next, Arizona. Oh, boy. Takes on the Washington, soon to be called Redskins, again. Give me Washington. I think Arizona's freaking tanking.
Yeah, they definitely are. I like the Commanders.
I like the Redskins in this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, what? What, we're going complete sweep with Wash?
Complete sweep with the fucking Redskins.
All right. Next on the list. Oh, gosh. The Houston Texans take on the Baltimore Ravens. The spread's 10. Baltimore.
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 Yeah, I like Baltimore as well.
Good.
I want to see what Lamar does now because he got his money. They put weapons around him. Look, he got what people have been claiming for the Ravens to do for the last year. They paid the man, and they put weapons around him. Like, he comes in with a loaded receiving core. Mark Andrews, of course, is still going to be his guy, but you know, he's going to have to work that perimeter now with Odell working the slot, Zay Flowers. He's going to almost kind of be like their Tyreek Hill in a way, that guy that can work underneath but can also take the top off your coverage. And you still have Rashad Bateman. Like, this is a make-or-break year for Lamar Jackson. He has to stay healthy. Then I'm also looking at the mental toughness of the Baltimore Ravens because they blew about 5 or 6 leads last year, and I'm just saying to myself, if they don't blow those leads, they're one of the 3 best teams in the AFC North, in the AFC, and they win the AFC North. We're talking about them as the defending champ, not the Bengals.
Yeah. And also, I'm going OBJ anytime touchdown. I think OBJ gets his in this game. I think he comes back and proves that he's still good. All right, next, the Chicago Bears are home against the Green Bay Packers. The spread is 1. It's a pick 'em for the most part. You
know, normally, this would be like, back in the day, this was like a high-stakes rivalry game. But, you know, I'm talking like the days of, like, Favre and Urlacher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to go with the Bears, but this is really one of those Sunday night, who gives a shit game?
Christian.
It's a new chapter of this rivalry because everybody in, you know, my generation, they're so used to seeing 2 quarterbacks play for the Packers against the Bears. One of them's in the Hall of Fame. That's Brett Favre. And the other is now playing for the New York Jets.
It will soon be in the Hall of Fame.
Right. So it's definitely a new chapter in this rivalry. I don't think you guys realize like the magnitude of this rivalry in the state of Illinois, just being out there all those years. It's something. When Packer Week comes up, doesn't matter. You know, it's almost like the word Packers is illegal to use out there. I like the Bears in this one because I want to see what Justin Fields does. I know he's had a lot of naysayers and he can't do this, he can't do that. I just want to see what, you know, what he does.
Okay. John?
I'm going to go Bears, too, because it's like, you think about it, it's like, how many years have, whenever you think Bears, Packers, you think Aaron Rodgers is just going to go in there and be Aaron Rodgers. But now that element is gone, so it's like, now it's basically up for grabs. You know? We're going to see how the new quarterback, can he start his legacy now in Green Bay, or is he going to be a flop in Green Bay?
I don't think he's going to be a flop in Green Bay. I'm against all of you. I'm taking the Packers. I think Jordan Love comes in, and I think the Chicago Bears getting rid of Moore is going to hurt them.
You mean them acquiring Moore?
Acquiring Moore. Is that, yeah. Well, I think you're not going to see anything. I think Jalen's actually just – I think the other thing is, too, is Jalen's going to want to run. He's going to have happy feet and get the hell out of the pocket.
Who, Justin Fields?
Yeah. What did I say?
You said Jalen.
Sorry.
Nah, you're all good. I knew what you meant.
Yeah. I don't like him. Like, I don't like him as a quarterback. I see him as what the Bears already had, just younger. Nagy did not like, oh, God damn it. Why am I spacing on his goddamn name?
Who, Trubisky?
Trubisky. And then he just drafts another Trubisky. Everyone's like, because then people are like, oh, Trubisky wasn't good this way. He was third. He ran, when he was able to get out of the pocket and run the ball, he was one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Hell, when he was able to get out of the pocket and actually scramble and make plays with his feet, that's when they made the playoffs.
Yeah, but when you got to realize, when a new head coach comes in, there's no tape on his system. And the reason why Matt was fired from the Bears was because he never expanded his playbook. Like, think about it. He never added anything. It's almost like, look, as a former defender, I would have been excited to have played the Bears if Matt Nagy's tending, because I know what's coming. He's going to drop back, he's going to dink and dump it, and it's going to be a stop. There was no type of creativity, there was no type of innovation, and the sad part about it was Matt Nagy was an offensive-minded coach.
Right. That's why I said, I go, literally, Nagy had Trubisky and then went and drafted another Trubisky. The problem is no one ever saw Trubisky use his feet, because Nagy's offense never had that. That was the problem. When he was able to get out of the pocket, when Trubisky was able to get out of the pocket and extend plays with his feet, people remember that was the last time they made the playoffs, because it was the double doink. So, and Fields has not shown me anything. Not yet, anyway. It's just, who knows? All right, next game. The Vegas Raiders take on the Denver Broncos. I got Denver.
Denver.
Yeah, I like Denver. I don't trust Jimmy Garoppolo, and I think Denver is going to be one of those teams that improves, because
listen, Garoppolo has been spending way too much time at the Bunny Ranch.
Yeah. Because Denver was just a mess last year. Worst offense I think I've ever seen in all my years of analyzing.
Is Russell Wilson still with them?
This is going to be his second year, and the thing that I didn't like was they tried to turn him into something he wasn't, which was a pocket quarterback. He's not that type of guy. Yes, he can throw from the pocket, but he likes to move around. He likes to move the pocket. He likes to make throws on the run. He likes to extend plays with his feet. And Nathaniel Hackett wasn't doing that.
What I love is Peyton already said, stop freaking glad-handing.
Yeah.
Glad I told him to stop glad-handing. Just be an asshole. That's what we want you to be. Be an asshole.
You want him to be Mr. Kennedy?
I mean, He wants him to be the quarterback of Seattle in Denver. He goes, listen, nobody's going to like you. So just live the gimmick. Brian, is he making an appearance or no?
He can.
Well, is he, or are you taking Denver, or are you bringing Dave out?
Oh, dude, you know Raider Dave wants to come out.
But
nothing.
Oh, hell no. So that means, are you backing Raider Dave, or are you taking
Raider Dave?
I must be really tired from finding this hysterically funny. Oh, yeah. Goddamn.
Look, I lost my nuts in a combine accident, sir.
Damn. I must be overtired.
We're almost done, John. We're almost done. Okay, you got Dave is taking the Raiders, obviously. What is Ryan taking?
Dave's kind of scary. I'm going to go with him.
You taking Vegas?
Yeah, I'm going to take Vegas.
Okay. All right. Philly, taking on New England. Tom Brady, retirement day. Philly's a four-point favorite. Philly rolls.
Yeah, I like the Eagles. I just don't think the Patriots have enough talent to keep up with this type of roster that the Eagles have. You know, yeah, Tom Brady's walking through that door, but he ain't playing.
Yeah, he is.
No, if he's playing, he's playing for Vegas. He owns part of Vegas.
Yeah, he's going to do whatever he wants, okay? He's Tom fucking Brady. He doesn't retire. He Ric Flairs that shit.
Woo! Listen, he takes professional football like indie wrestling. You don't retire, you quit.
Pretty much.
He's ready to come back. John, who are you taking? Philly or New England?
I don't like either fucking team, to be quite honest with you, but if I have to choose, I'll have to go with Filthy.
Ryan?
Yeah, I'll take Philly.
Miami or the Chargers? I'm taking Miami.
Miami.
Christian?
I'm going Miami here. When they played last year, this was the Chargers' best defensive performance of the year because they condensed everything. They kept Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle underneath, and they put a ton of pressure on Tua, and they stopped the run. I just don't know if the Chargers can duplicate that. Again, I'm taking the Dolphins, and I think this is going to be one of the higher-scoring games of the entire week.
Okay, Ryan.
I'm going to take Miami.
All right. Next game, L.A. The Rams. Without Cooper Kupp taking on Seattle. Give me the Seahawks.
I like Seattle because there's just so many question marks about the Los Angeles Rams.
Brian, I already know you're taking Seattle.
Yeah, fuck the Rams.
John, Seattle.
Yeah, I mean, this one's easy. Without Kupp, I'm saying it now, and I told Ryan, I told Christian on Monday evening quarterback that I think the Rams are going to be the worst team in the league.
They fucking deserve it, too.
By Halloween, Stafford, Darnold, and Kupp will all be traded.
Yeah, I can see that.
By the end of the season, fucking Kronk, he's going to be begging to come back to St. Louis because L.A. ain't going to put up with that shit.
All right. Oh, the $2.5 billion stadium says otherwise.
No, dude, they ain't going to put up with that. Dude, that city is not going to put up with a losing team.
Well, they got the Chargers.
After paying all that fucking money, they're going to get a team that does worse than the Chargers?
They got the Chargers. That's their winning team.
Yeah, okay.
They're gonna end up selling the Rams just like they did back in the fucking day whenever we brought him to St. Louis fucking last time.
All right. Sunday Night Football. Dallas Cowboys take a 3.5-point favorite against the New York Football Giants. As much as you gave the money to Daniel Jones, unfortunately, I think Dak Prescott is going to be Dak Prescott. Throw a pick here. I'll take the over on picks, which is at 1.5. But Micah Parsons will get 2 picks, and Dallas wins.
This is a tough one.
Yeah.
Because it's another team I can't fucking stand.
I'm taking Dallas.
Taking Dallas. Christian?
So here's how I'm looking at this game. One, there's nothing like the NFC East, right?
Nope.
I mean, we're getting this rivalry. It's under the lights. It's in East Rutherford, borderline New York. It seems like every time Dak plays the Giants, well, as of late, he just ascends. He saves his best performances against the Giants. I mean, I think he's 10-2 in his last 12 games against the Giants, and I think he's past 6, if I'm not mistaken. So he takes it to higher levels. This is like Brady against the Bills and Rodgers against the Bears. You see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Two, I'm looking at the new toys of the Giants, Darren Waller, Jalin Hyatt. Is it going to be enough against Daniel Jones? Let's see what Brian Daboll does, because we know what the defense is going to do. We know what Saquon Barkley is going to do. You paid Daniel Jones all that money. Now it's time for him to show why he was paid all that money. But I always say you have to put your quarterback in what? The best position to win football games.
Oh. Whew.
Don't do that.
Waller's the one from Tennessee, right?
From Vegas. Hyatt is the one from Tennessee. He's the rookie.
That's who I'm looking for right now.
Right. But I also, you know, I look at this game. I think this is a bigger game, and I think the Giants kind of come in with more pressure, if anything, than the Cowboys do, because the Giants need to show that they can play with the upper echelon in the NFC East, right? Because they lost twice to Dallas last year. They lost 3 times to the Eagles last year, once included in the playoffs. So the million-dollar question is, look, they can start out with a victory. This is going to give them some confidence moving forward. I think it's key for the Giants. They got to get pressure on Dak Prescott. They have to start quickly. And most importantly, you got to know where Micah Parsons is at all time. That if especially, and not only that, you have to keep Daniel Jones protected, because Dan Quinn is one of the best defensive-minded guys.
Damn right he is.
In the football league, and he's going to throw a lot of different looks. He can rush 3. He can rush 4. He'll set the house, and they'll get home. That's the thing I really like about this Dallas defense. It's actually my favorite defense in the entire National Football League. Then for Dallas, I'm bottling up Saquon, and I'm forcing Daniel Jones to beat me. Can he do it? They put weapons around him somewhat. Now, can he take advantage of that? I think the Giants keep it interesting, but in the fourth quarter, Dak is going to generate a drive that's going to put them in the driver's seat, and I like the Cowboys to win this game.
So, Dak over 1 pick, he's always good for 1 pick, is -111. That's actually the underdog rating, and Jalin Hyatt is 7-1 to score a touchdown.
Another thing I want to say about the Cowboys, they're very hit or miss. There's no in-between with them. When they're good,
they're
dominant on both sides of the ball. Everything is clicking on all cylinders. Dak is taking care of the ball. They're running the ball. The offensive line is blowing the opponent off the line 5 and 7 yards per play. And defensively, they're getting at you. And you know what I'm talking about. Look at how they played in Tampa. Like, when they play like that in Tampa, they're going to be a tough out. Then, when they're bad,
Dak's not taking care of the ball. They're getting away from the running game. They're trying to make Dak do everything, and he's not the type of quarterback that can necessarily generate a shootout like a Mahomes, like a Burrow, like an Allen or a Justin Herbert. And the defense, you know, they're playing sloppy football. So what Cowboys team do we see? But most importantly, what Dak do we see? If we get good Dak, the Cowboys win this game.
Yep. John, so your last one. Who do you got?
I got to go with my gut on this one. Even though I don't like to say it, it's like it's going to be probably the Cowgirls. Because, like I said, I don't know. I know. It's like I've seen Dak Prescott, what he's capable of doing. Jones, as good as he is, I don't know. Just a lot of pressure. There's going to be a lot of pressure on him. Like Christian said, he just got that big, fat contract. They're putting all their eggs in his basket. It's a big game to start off the season. I don't know if he can. It's going to be interesting to see if he can get it, but I'm going to have to go with the Cowgirls on this one.
And to kind of elaborate on John's point a little bit more, between the two quarterbacks, I trust Dak a little bit more than I trust Daniel Jones.
Yeah, that's fair. All right. And the final game, the Monday night game. Christian, you were also previewing this. The Buffalo Bills travel to East Rutherford at 9-11 to take on the New York Jets.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this one. I think this is the game of the entire slate of week one. Aaron Rodgers making his debut. It's going to be an emotional scene because it's the 22-year anniversary of September 11th.
Yes.
I can't believe it. Look, Buffalo enters as the best team in the AFC East. They've won this division the last 3 years. They've been to the playoffs. They won a couple of the playoff games, and they were even a game away from the Super Bowl a couple years ago. But like I said, you know, I kind of give them a little benefit of the doubt just because of everything they underwent last year. One, Josh Allen was playing at an MVP level last season before he got hurt against these Jets. Two, they lost Von Miller, and Von Miller is a future Hall of Famer. He was bought here to help put you over the top. But most importantly, I just don't think this team was able to regroup after what happened with DeMar Hamlin. You know, your teammate almost loses his life on the field. You really think they really care about
football? Is he playing this year or no?
Yeah, he's playing.
He's second stringer.
Yeah, he's playing. So they'll put him in certain situations. Like Buffalo has everything, but the one thing I always say about the Bills, they depend too much on Josh Allen. You know, can they run the ball with Damian Harris? Because if they can show some balance, this is going to be a tough team to beat. When I look at the Jets, everything was there for them last year. Decent offensive line play. You had the offensive rookie of the year in Garrett Wilson. You had the defensive rookie of the year in Sauce. But Quinnen Williams is what makes this defense go. And I'm so happy they signed him to that contract extension. I previewed this one on Friday afternoon. Be on the lookout for it. Buffalo Bills, New York Jets.
John, who are you taking?
I got to go with my Jets on this one. It's just going to be, I think there's, like, to piggyback off of what Christian said, it's the anniversary of 9/11. You got Aaron Rodgers debut in East Rutherford. It's going to be an emotionally charged game. Aaron Rodgers is going to want to prove to the fan base that says, look, I am who I am. I know who I am. I still have it. I'm going to lead you guys to the promised land. And with all the pieces around him, there's still some question marks here and there. I would think you guys would agree with that with this. I think, what is it, with the offensive line?
Yeah, it's the offensive line. And if I'm Buffalo, I'm testing that out right away. They have Greg Rousseau, and they have Leonard Floyd. They have guys that can get after the quarterback. This is a very active Buffalo defensive front, especially on that defensive line. Ed Oliver, they have depth. They have guys that can get after the passer. And you saw the Von Miller effect last year, John, because when Von was on the field, that entire front seven was getting home, and you just never knew who was going to be sent to get home. So I could see Buffalo mixing it up. But I think the key for the Jets, when you play Buffalo, the key in facing them is to keep Josh Allen in the pocket, because Josh can extend plays. He's quick. He's mobile. He's almost like a running back in the open field. He's a dual threat quarterback, but, you know, he can move the pocket. He can make throws on a run. It starts with keeping him in that pocket. If they can contain him, I think the Jets have a shot.
Yeah, I'm going to have to, like I said, but this, yeah, I'm definitely going with the Jets on this one.
Ryan?
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to go with the Jets on this one too, man.
I am also going to take the Jets. Now, here's the thing. This is the thing that has been bothering me the most when it comes to seeing people online, if it's in the world of sports group that we're all in, if it's other people talking. Everyone is talking about, oh, well, the Jets are not going to be that good. The Jets are not going to be that good. My thing is so, full disclosure, I have a 35-1 Super Bowl bet on the Jets that I put in at the beginning of last year. Literally at the end of the Super Bowl, I put in this bet. Not because I knew Rodgers was coming to the Jets. It had everything to do with this defense. This defense is Super Bowl caliber. And the fact that everyone is glossing over that, people are going to be in a rude awakening when the top five, let's face it, the Jets have a top five defense, right?
Oh, without question. No, you're right.
Yeah, and, you know, what Quentin Williams did on a top five defense last year was just remarkable. I mean, he's a missile when he's unblocked. I saw it at Alabama, and I'm glad more people are beginning to notice it in the NFL.
Yeah, that's the thing. Rodgers does not have to be Hall of Fame Rodgers.
50%. At 50%, he could still be scary.
Rodgers has to come in and not lose us games. That's right. The big thing. Rodgers has to come in and not lose us games.
Yeah, and I think at this point with Aaron Rodgers, he can't be Green Bay, Aaron.
No,
you see what
he
I'm
doesn't
saying?
Have to be,
because
he doesn't have to be MVP. He
no,
does
he
not
doesn't.
Need to be MVP Rodgers.
No, he doesn't, because I think that was the problem last year. I remember after they traded Devontae Adams, I said, look, they're going to build this game, this offense, around one guy in Green Bay, and it was Aaron Jones. And it just seemed like they took the ball out of Aaron Jones' hands a little too much, and Rodgers could just never get on the same page with his young wide receivers, with Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs. Like, he really missed Devontae Adams, and Devontae was doing his thing in Vegas. All they need Aaron Rodgers to do, if Rodgers can throw the ball at least between 30 and 35 times at the most, they'll be in good shape to win. He can't throw the ball over 35 times now.
I mean, he could, but it's risky,
and that's
though.
That's a recipe for an L, John. Like, he has to – I'm not saying he has to be a game manager, because he can still flick this ball. But, you know, lean on your running game. You got a defense that could potentially get you the ball. Dink and dump it. Find your open guy. Fling the ball down the field. And the Jets are going to be in prime position.
Don't they have what's his name from Green Bay as a wide receiver now?
They have three guys from Green Bay on the wide receiver team.
No, who was Rodgers' like go-to guy? Don't they just
last
have
year? Last year it was Alan Lazard. Yeah, they have Alan Lazard. They have Randall Cobb, and God, who's the third one?
Cobb. Oh God.
Lazard,
Cobb, and
I think it was just those two.
It was just those two receivers. They brought Rodgers' backup in, and they cut him.
Who, the backup quarterback?
Yeah.
Who, Tim Boyle?
Yeah, they cut Boyle.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, the thing about when everyone's screaming, oh, the Jets are not going to do good, the Jets are not going to do good, they have a suspect offensive line. Yes, the offensive line is very suspect, but Mekhi Becton is now going to play right guard. He actually looks like he's doing 1,000 times better. Now, the question is, can he stay healthy? Elijah Vera Tucker, not Vera Tucker, yeah.
Yeah, Vera Tucker. Yeah.
Is back at 100%. So let's see. Like the line has been gelling better. So, but like that's the thing. Like we're gonna end up having, it's gonna just end up being what it is. And Rodgers just needs to stay upright. Rodgers does not need to win his games. The defense is there to win. The defense is gonna be there more to win the games.
Right.
And going in, and Christian was saying earlier, oh, well, Von Miller's there. There's no Von Miller for the first four games.
And I'll say this. I think, remember what you guys just heard me say about the Giants, how that game against the Cowboys can be a breakthrough for them?
Yeah, yep.
The same could be said about the Jets because, you know, to show that you belong, like, to me, this is a tone setter in the AFC. It's the biggest game on the slate in the AFC conference. And if the Jets want to show that they can hang with Buffalo, this is the game they need to take. However, on the other side, I'm looking at the Buffalo Bills. And remember how they played the Rams last year in L.A. in week one?
Yeah.
Last year. Buffalo needs to come out with that same type of energy. But I also say this. I think Buffalo kind of comes in a pressure cooker-like type of situation because if they don't at least make the AFC championship, this is a team that's going to be in trouble.
Like
I don't mean in trouble. Sorry, Ronnie. I don't mean they'll be in trouble. They're going to make changes. I can see them getting rid of Sean McDermott.
Yeah, McDermott might be DOA. But the thing is the reason I don't have Buffalo making it as I think Allen actually takes a step back.
I don't think so. I think he's going to be 100 when he's healthy. He's an MVP candidate. I mean, he's a top five quarterback when he's healthy. Again, he was hurt last year. I think I can understand what you mean, but when he has to do everything, he presses. I remember a game last year. I remember previewing it. They played Miami, and he threw the ball 63 times. That's not going to win you a game.
No. No, and they don't really have the dogs to run the ball like they used to.
No, they don't.
So, those are our picks for week one. It's gonna be fun. We're back. Football is officially back, and tomorrow it will officially kick off. And we got college back, but NFL is officially back, and I don't know. I think it's just one of those things. Are you guys ready to bring this into the station?
Damn. Absolutely. Right. Yeah.
Brian, I'll get your stuff later on if you want to give me, and same with John, if you want to give me that off the air, we don't have to do it on the air.
Okay, cool.
Cool.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, with that being said, thank you for listening to our show. If you like what you heard, follow us on social media under the Nerd Report Network. Follow us individually on Twitter or X at F and Ronnie.
At the Zombie Master.
At Daily Blitz _61.
At Stunt Jack STL.
And join us back here Sunday night. If you miss it, go on Spotify and listen to Monday Evening Quarterback as myself producing with Christian. We'll be going over the week ones, what caught our eyes, and the week two, I guess week two of college football I would take.
Absolutely, yeah. We're going to look back at what caught our eye, week two of college football, and we're going to talk about what caught our eye in week one of the NFL, and then I'm going to give a little preview of the Monday night game next week, which is the Buffalo Bills and the New York Jets. Stay tuned. Catch Monday Evening Quarterback on Spotify, YouTube, Blog Talk Radio, Twitch, and the Nerdport Network.
Yep, and also give us a follow over on Spotify under the Nerdport Network. And if you like what you heard, please tell your friends. If you didn't like what you hear,
go fuck yourself.
Tell your enemies, but always tell them two things. One, there is always a teachable moment
And two, Bobby Bonilla is always getting paid. And if you don't believe me, well, hell, fuck, that's just a fact of life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good night.
Go fuck yourself.